Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight for another week of America First. It is Monday. Monday again. You know, for a lot of people, you don't like Monday because Monday means work, school, back to the grind, but it also means more America First. And I guess in that way, it's back to work for me, but it's more content for you. So it's a good day for you. It's a good day for me, too. I like doing the show. We've got a great show for you tonight. We've got a very good show for you tonight. Normally, I say we've got a great show, and I say that every night, and you know that, like, not every show can be really good. I mean, they're all good, don't get me wrong, but if they're all great, then none of them are. Tonight, we've got a really great show, very important show tonight. Of course, the featured story is about what's happening in Virginia, which I haven't talked about a lot, but this is a situation that's been developing for basically the past year. And what's been happening is the governor, Ralph Northam, Ralph Northam or Northam? I don't know if there's another R in there. In any case, the Democratic governor, blackface governor of Virginia, has been pushing towards outright gun confiscation in Virginia for this entire year. This has been made worse because of recent elections within the state that have put Democrats in charge of the House of Delegates in Virginia, the Attorney General's office, and, of course, the governorship remains. So now we see a dramatic push for gun confiscation. Recently, they have taken a step back and settled for mere gun registration, and this has caused a big uproar, of course, from conservatives and from counties across Virginia. You've got now something like, I think it's like 90 or maybe over 100 different counties in Virginia which are declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuary counties, where sheriffs and local authorities have vowed that they will not enforce unconstitutional gun laws in their jurisdiction. So it's a very dicey situation. We don't really know what the outcome is going to be right now. It appears the Democrats have backed off for now, but that's going to be our featured story. And I really am going to take a moment tonight to sort of tie it all together. I know that since the Groyper Wars have ended, there hasn't really been anything very consequential, in my opinion, in the news. You know, we've covered more or less impeachment, the British elections, various things happening in the world, various developments pertaining to foreign wars and the economy and the 2020 election. But, you know, to me, this is probably one of the first episodes since the end of the Groyper Wars where maybe some of the newer viewers, newer followers of the show are in for a treat, because this is going to be one of those episodes where you really tie it in all together. I think we did that a little bit last week with the political compass showing, you know, where the future lies with populism and so on. But this is going to be a really good show tying in immigration, demographic change, and things like gun control. What the big picture is, what the big agenda is there. So I've got a whiteboard. We've got a good whiteboard for you. That'll be for our featured story. Of course, we're also talking tonight about Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson, who, you know, last week I made the comparison, and, you know, everybody made the comparison between, of course, Boris Johnson winning a landslide election last week in Parliament and Donald Trump and what his outcome, what his fortunes will be in the 2020 election. And, you know, I will say that this analogy just keeps getting better. I would say, you know, last week I said that the analogy wasn't perfect. The parallel wasn't perfectly one-to-one between Boris and Trump for a variety of reasons, of course, in the UK. You had two prime ministers since the Brexit referendum, whereas in America we've only had one president since the 2016 election. And, you know, we broke down how it's different systems and very different situations. But, you know, we have a development this week that shows that maybe Boris Johnson has a lot more in common with Donald Trump than we thought. Because, of course, what is the first thing that Boris Johnson has done since getting the biggest majority that any party has gotten in the lower house, the British Commons, since 2001? What is the first thing that he did? Can you take a guess? Take a wild guess why this recent development would make him a perfect fit, perfectly parallel with Donald Trump. Do you think it was Brexit? Do you think it was opposition to foreign wars? Do you think it was a trade deal? Take a wild guess. The first thing that he did after getting the biggest conservative majority in Parliament, conservative majority since Margaret Thatcher, you know, biggest majority outright since Tony Blair, biggest conservative majority since Margaret Thatcher. He passes anti-BDS laws in the United Kingdom, okay? And I know, I feel like I'm harping on this point now. Maybe you get the same impression. Maybe there's some Jewish Zionists who are still scratching their heads and they're wondering, why is this guy so obsessed about Israel? But do you see it yet? So we'll talk about that. His first act in office will be to pass a very similar anti-BDS law in the United Kingdom as the laws that have been passed in the United States, basically saying that the government of the United Kingdom cannot directly or indirectly support the BDS movement against Israel. And I find that to be just very, very interesting. Although maybe I'm just hung up. Maybe I'm just fixated. It's me. I've got the problem, right? So we'll talk about that. And those will be our two main stories tonight, is this new law in the United Kingdom. And I'll be talking about the Second Amendment under attack. What is the ridiculous title of this video? It is Virginia Democrats planning mass gun confiscation. Civil war soon? I should add, I'm going to add two more question marks. So it'll come across as like, civil war soon? You know, if it's one question mark, it's like, civil war soon? But if you do three question marks, it's like, mass gun confiscation. Civil war incoming? Imminent? So we're going to get into that. That'll be our featured story. Before we dive into all of that, I do just want to touch on a couple of things. Of course, this week we have an abbreviated schedule on the show. I will not be here on Thursday and Friday because, of course, I will be in West Palm Beach for the Groyper Leadership Summit. And, of course, we are going to be in West Palm Beach celebrating concurrently with Turning Point USA's annual Student Action Summit, the SAS Conference. It's being held the same weekend in the same city. We're going to be there. It's going to be a great time. It'll be myself, Patrick Casey, Jake Lloyd. We'll be giving speeches. We've got a number of Groypers who actually asked questions and attended these events who are showing up. It's really going to be a great time. But of course, I'll be out of town, so I won't be here to do the show. So I won't be here Thursday and Friday. I'll be here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then next week, I'm planning on doing a show on the 23rd. So I'm planning on doing a show next Monday. I'm going to take Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the next day off. So 24th, 25th, and 26th, I think I'm going to be off. Debating whether or not I'll be on for the 27th. And then, of course, the big announcement that I made yesterday is that I'm planning on having a 10-hour marathon stream on DLive next Saturday. Not this upcoming Saturday, but next Saturday, the 28th. I announced this on Twitter and Telegram yesterday. I tossed this idea around a little bit last week. Of course, the 2010s are ending. The 2010s decade is over with this coming new year. So I'm going to do a 10-hour rewind stream, 1 hour for every year on DLive. It'll be on Saturday, where I'll be listening to music from the 2010s, playing games from the 2010s, talking about events, cultural moments, technology, memes, things like that. I'll probably do some kind of like People's Choice thing. Well, maybe I'll put out some polls this week and people will vote on, you know, what are their favorite songs, favorite memes, you know, whatever. I'll be having guests, things like that. It's not going to be a huge production, but it should be a pretty fun time. Like I said, that'll be on the 28th. And we'll be sort of going out of 2019 with a bang. So we have that to look forward to. If you're upset, I know December, I haven't really been around so much. It's been a lot of traveling, a lot of, a lot of things happening outside the studio. But hopefully that'll make up for it. 10 hours of content, that's a lot. So you've got that going on. And I think that does it for housekeeping. Groyper Leadership Summit this weekend. Next weekend is the big 2010s rewind stream. I put out a little form today on Twitter for people to make suggestions about what they want to see on the stream. With that out of the way, I think that's everything as far as housekeeping goes. I did want to get into this Atlantic article a little bit, but I think I might just save it for tomorrow because we're a little pressed for time. Lots of big things to talk about, so I don't want to really waste too much time talking about this. Of course, there was this big article in the Atlantic today by some woman, and it was about how boys are being miseducated. And it's yet another one of these articles. It's like every year, and I don't know if it is today, but every year when they have National Men's Day or, you know, International Boys Day or whatever, of course, you always get all the women in the punditry class or on social media who know what's best. And so I was going to spend a little bit of time on that. I might just save it for tomorrow because I really want to get into the meat for this show. But you could probably guess, you know, where I'm going with that. So we're going to dive in. Like I said, our two main stories tonight, we're going to start out with this new law in the United Kingdom. And I'll read to you, this is a report from, I think this is the Jerusalem Post, about the first act of Boris Johnson after being re-elected Prime Minister. It says, quote, newly re-elected British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to unveil proposed legislation aimed at undermining the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign against Israel later this week, according to local media. According to the daily newspaper called I, the measure will be listed among the legislative priorities of the Johnson administration during the Queen's speech on Thursday. The speech, which is traditionally given by the reigning monarch at the opening of Parliament, is written by the Queen's ministers and reflects the priorities of the incoming government. So, of course, at the top, at the tippy top, the very top of our priorities list is anti-BDS, is going after the enemies of a foreign nation, Israel. It says, Johnson's Conservative Party, which won a landslide victory in Thursday's general election, which we covered on the show, had pledged to ban local councils from boycotting products from foreign countries, including Israel, in its election policy manifesto released last month. And I find it very interesting the way they frame it, so it's very general. They say, well, they pledged to pass a law that says that local councils cannot boycott products from foreign nations, including Israel, when you know it's like completely the other way around. You know that it was designed. We all know that the intention was specifically to go after BDS. I'm not really aware of any other major campaigns to boycott foreign nations. I mean, I assume there must be other boycotts going on. You know, like, let's boycott Russia because they hacked our democracy. You know, let's boycott, you know, Sudan because of what's happening in Darfur, whatever. But we know that the only, like, international, like, major campaign to boycott a country, at least in this year, is BDS. So they say, well, we're going to pass a law that goes after city councils banning products or boycotting products from certain countries, including Israel. As if, you know, that's just an arbitrary, oh, you know, including Israel and Zimbabwe and Rhodesia. Like, no, we know it means it was designed for Israel. In any case, it's just sort of an interesting little language trick there, a little verbal trickery there. The document says, quote, we will ban public bodies from imposing their own direct or indirect boycotts, divestment, or sanctions campaigns against foreign countries. Yeah, can't imagine what they're talking about there. The document says, we will ban public bodies from imposing their own direct or indirect boycotts, divestment, or sanctions campaigns against foreign countries. You know, just any BDS campaign, right? These undermine community cohesion. It says introducing a law against such boycotts would prevent Labour-majority local councils from opposing boycotts against Israel, according to the Jewish Chronicle weekly newspaper. So, I will say at the outset, it's sort of a tricky thing about BDS. In a certain sense, going after BDS is like economic warfare against the left, in the sense that the only people that are pushing BDS in particular, not the only people that are criticizing Israel, but the only, it seems to me that the only institutional support for the BDS movement, for Palestinian rights, is from the left. And we know that BDS and this Palestinian stuff does funnel a lot of money towards the Labour Party in the United Kingdom and progressives in the United States. So I will introduce a little nuance and say there is maybe a case to be made that, you know, this represents economic warfare against the left. I will say that that's also really not the motivation behind these things. You know, you can say that, maybe theoretically that's true, but we all know why these laws are being passed. We all know why these are at the top of the priority list of these administrations in two different countries, why this was the first thing that Boris Johnson did. We know why that is. We know that the reason anti-BDS laws are passed in America with wide bipartisan support and passed before things that Republicans and Democrats agree on that are good for our country, you know, things like infrastructure, things like the USMCA trade deal, you know, why you have bipartisan support, but also that it comes before other things that have bipartisan support, why it is so much more over the top for this country than any other country going after its enemies, going after even non-state actors, NGOs opposing the interests of a foreign country. We know why that is. Like I said last week, I'm not going to, you know, relitigate the whole thing because we did a show about it last week. But all of this is to say, don't you see now the extent of the influence the disproportionate power of this lobby, of the Zionist lobby, not just in the United States, but across the world. You know, this is not just the United States, this is now the United Kingdom too. And if you're paying attention in Brazil, it was announced that Brazil is now moving their embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. And we know that Bolsonaro, and we know that Salvini, and we know that all the Tory leaders in the United Kingdom are going to the Western Wall. And they're all advocating for Zionism, and they're all meeting with, you know, similar people internationally. And what are we supposed to take away from all this? Now, recognize the legal definition of anti-Semitism, at least in the United States, says that if you believe that Jews are working together on an international level, that constitutes anti-Semitism. If Jewish people are working on an international scale for their own interest or any interest at all, that is the legal definition of anti-Semitism. If you think that any single Jewish person has a dual allegiance to Israel, or possibly more allegiance to Israel than their home country, that is a legal definition of anti-Semitism. Now, what am I saying here? Am I saying that that is anti-Semitism, and therefore it is wrong, and therefore you cannot say that, and therefore, no, of course not. The reason I say that is to demonstrate the language game that is played, the extent of the control even over language. Of course we know. I think most people would say that our definition of anti-Semitism is if you say you hate Jews, right? I think most people would assume, and we're wrong to do this, that the definition of racism is you hate minorities, right? You hate non-white people. The definition of sexism is you hate women. The definition of anti-Semitism is you hate Jews, right? But we break down all these different words, and tonight we're fixating specifically on this word, anti-Semitism. We find that's not the definition at all. That's not the practical definition. And that's not even, in many cases, the legal definition. The legal definition and the practical definition are vastly more expansive to constitute things that you would be surprised at. Things that we would all agree are part of legitimate political dissent or just part of legitimate political conversation. You know, to say possibly that the Zionist Organization of America or the World Jewish Congress or the American Israeli Political Action Committee or whatever the analogy is in the United Kingdom, to say that maybe they're advocating for the interests of another country at the expense of our own country, I think everybody would agree that's probably a reasonable statement, or at the bare minimum, a reasonable question to ask, a reasonable inquiry. In other words, maybe you don't believe that, but you might say that it's reasonable that somebody might ask, if you have all this foreign lobbying, you know, maybe there's something going on there. Maybe there's something going on there, and maybe the question deserves to be asked. Well, under the legal definition, that's anti-Semitism. You can't say that. And so I see what happens in the United Kingdom. I see what happens in the United States. And it's a disgrace. It's indefensible. How can you have, and this is just what boggles the mind here, and I know I said this last week, but how can you have a nationalist America First movement, an American nationalist movement, you know, nation, nationalist meaning nation, meaning our nation, meaning America. How can you have an American nationalist movement but constantly put another nation ahead of our own? I don't understand. And look, understand, I'm not even arguing. Notice that I'm not even arguing in favor of BDS. I don't really care about BDS. I'm not arguing in favor of Palestine. I don't really care about Palestine. I haven't even said anything about Israel itself. You know, whether it's good, whether it's bad, at least for this show, whether they're an ally, whether they're not an ally. All I'm saying is, don't you understand that this item has been pushed to the top of the priority because of a very concerted push by certain interests, right? I mean, that's all I'm saying here. And don't you think that it would be mutually exclusive that the word is America First, or the phrase is America First, in an American nationalist movement that we might put our own country ahead? You might very well believe that Israel's an ally. You might very well believe that these anti-BDS laws are a good thing. Maybe. You might very well believe that BDS is a terrible movement and they are anti-Semitic and they're the scourge of the planet. Okay. But why is passing what should be considered like borderline anti-free speech, at least in America, unconstitutional laws, why is that at the top of the priority list? This has happened in America before the wall. It has happened before a trade deal with Mexico. It has happened before a trade deal with China. It has happened before the withdrawal of troops from Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Yemen. But those were all the things that were promised to the voters during the election in the United Kingdom. These laws have come before the Brexit. They've been trying for Brexit for years, and I understand Brexit's obviously way more complicated, but What does it say about the priorities? It's the first thing when you get reelected, and reelected under the guise of pushing for Brexit as hard and as quickly as possible, fighting for working class people. And you have to ask yourself, you know, is this a viable path? You know, right now, you might not see the contradiction. I think a lot of people in the middle, a lot of alt-light, maybe adjacent people that might be leaning in our direction. I've heard this before. It's always the same thing. You know, why are you fixated? Or maybe they think Israel is an ally and so on. Maybe they don't see the conflict of interest right now. They might not see anything wrong with holding these two positions at the same time. At once being America first and an American nationalist, but why not also support Israel? A lot of people see that these things are not mutually exclusive, but don't you understand that they absolutely are? Don't you understand that they necessarily are mutually exclusive, that they cannot coexist like this? You cannot advance singularly, exclusively, or primarily the interest of another nation and also claim to be America first. And I know, you know, we're sort of beating a dead horse on this, but I'm just like surprised. I'm surprised after, I don't know why, I guess I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed, I guess, but not surprised, right? Or, you know, whatever the phrase is. As we saw all throughout last week, and I thought, okay, it's over. We saw Mark Levin say Donald Trump's the first Jewish president, and we had a MAGA yarmulke, and we had Trump go to some Zionist fundraiser and talk about how people need to love Israel. And after last week, after the weekend, I thought, okay, like, we've closed the chapter on that, so to speak. Here we are again. Here we are again in a foreign country of Boris Johnson. And to me, if that doesn't tell you what's going on, if that doesn't at the bare minimum get you asking questions, like, you're not a serious person. If you, at the bare minimum, are not even asking questions about that, you don't even find that a little bit conspicuous, how can you really be a serious political person? You don't have to agree with all the takeaways and consequences, but if you're not inquisitive, if you don't find that conspicuous, I question where your loyalties are, where your headspace is at, right? Remember what Bret Stephens said. I will never forget this. Bret Stephens of the New York Times used to write for the Jerusalem Post in Israel. He said, Israel cannot be safe in a world of America first. That Bret Stephens said that. Andrew Anglin didn't say that, right? It wasn't Richard Spencer that said that. It wasn't David Duke that said that. Bret Stephens of the Jerusalem Post from Israel. He's Jewish. He's a Zionist. He said, Israel cannot be safe in a world of America first. Well, what does that mean for American nationalists? What does that mean for America first? Does it mean that there's implicitly have to be these charges of anti-Semitism? Perhaps. Perhaps. But anyway, that's Boris Johnson. I think you get the picture. It's just so outrageous. It's so over the top. And what's funny to me is they are just completely overplaying their hand here. I think that's what everybody recognizes now, is they are just completely overplaying their hand. Because it is just so blatant and in your face and belligerent and undeniable. They're not even trying to hide it. And I don't know if they were ever really trying to hide it. You know, now it's more difficult for people, or rather, it used to be more difficult for people to find out because, you know, previously you had to turn on, I don't know, some conspiracy YouTube channel, or you'd have to go to some obscure conference to hear about this. Now it's on Twitter. You know, now it's all over social media. But I mean, man, if you don't see it at this point, you're never going to see it. But that's the United Kingdom. It just goes to show, you know, there's nothing going on there. It just goes to show there's nothing going on there. Stop asking questions. Stop naming them. Stop talking about Israel. Yo, just stop talking about Israel. You could achieve so much mainstream success. I've heard this so much. Nick, you have so much potential. You could go so far. If you want to have a mainstream movement, if you want to be serious and be a political player, you got to drop this Israel stuff. This one I hear all day long. Anyway, but we're going to move on. We're going to take a look at what's happening in Virginia. This is our main story, and this is, to me, what is so important. This is the good part. This is the good episode of America First, where I'm going to tie it all together here for you. I know this has been going on for, like I said, about a year. You know, I said at the top of the show that what's been happening in Virginia has really been happening. I mean, well, we could go back to the beginning of the time. This is the beginning of time for what's happening in Virginia, but this push for gun control really started in January of this year. We know that Governor Ralph Northam has been pushing for gun confiscation for at least a year, since January 2019, and it's lately kicked into overdrive because of their recent gains in the elections in November, their statewide elections in November. And I'll read you, this is a little report about this, about what's happening from the Epoch Times. You may know them. I believe they are like anti-China or something. I think they're from China, but they're like pro-Taiwan or something. Anyway, this is from the Epoch Times. It's the best summary I've found of what's happening so far. It says, quote, Virginia Democrats are proposing a mandatory state gun registration measure after widespread public outrage forced them to back off a more aggressive plan to confiscate so-called assault weapons, a designation that gun experts have long rejected as arbitrary. Gun control advocates call modern sporting rifles, such as the popular AR-15, assault weapons, likening them to weapons of war. But Governor Ralph Northam's plan still calls for a ban on assault weapons, albeit with a grandfather clause allowing those who already own such weapons to keep them, according to Northam spokeswoman Elena Yermoski. The grandfather clause will apply only if the owners register their weapons with the government, quote, before the end of a designated grace period, according to the spokeswoman. Northam issued what Cam Edwards of the pro-Second Amendment website Bearing Arms characterized as a veiled threat to use force against political subdivisions of the state that refuse to comply with new laws. Northam said on December 10th, quote, if we have constitutional laws on the books and law enforcement officers are not enforcing those laws on the books, then there are going to be consequences. But I'll cross that bridge if and when we get to it. So basically the gist of this is that after these big elections in November, Democrats have made a big push for gun control. They wanted to push an all-out so-called assault weapons ban. And of course, assault weapons is a very loose word for like semi-automatic rifles or just plain rifles in general. It's basically a nonsensical term. People have pointed this out before. Second Amendment people have pointed this out before that, you know, a lot of where Democrats draw the line on what constitutes an assault rifle versus a hunting rifle is the appearance. You know, a firearm may have the same capacity, functionally be the same, but because it is made out of wood and has a certain kind of stock and a certain kind of whatever, as opposed to an AR-15, well, that's what distinguishes it from being an assault versus non-assault. And really, that kind of tricky language is meant to obfuscate the conversation and allow for, you know, this kind of blanket gun control without raising too many suspicions. So as I said, Governor Ralph Northam, since these elections, he's been pushing for gun confiscation, saying we're going to outlaw semi-automatic rifles. Now they've softened the position, and notice it's not really a softening. They got big pushback from sheriffs, from municipal governments, from Second Amendment groups, from the citizenry, and so Governor Ralph Northam backed down and said, okay, well, instead of outlawing all rifles, we're going to outlaw all rifles, but we'll grandfather in rifles if you already own them. You just have to register them. So now instead of getting mass gun confiscation, door-to-door taking your guns, instead they're saying that you have to register your firearm, and if you don't, well, then they're going to go door-to-door and confiscate your firearm. So really, I mean, did they take a step back? Is that a retreat? Or, you know, is it basically the same thing, but they bought themselves a little bit of time? Because what you have to understand about gun registration is, what is the end game of gun registration? It's to know who has firearms, what kinds of firearms they have them, and why do they need that information? So that one day they can take them, you know? They want to make sure that they outlaw all firearms, so that if you don't register, they can take them from you, and if they do register, well, they know your name, they know your address, they know where to go when they want to confiscate the rest of them. I mean, that's what it's about. So, you know, from this article, and it basically spells it out, you know, they said, we're going for a semi-auto weapons ban. Okay, well, we won't ban semi-auto weapons. We'll grandfather you in if you already own them. But in order to get grandfathered into the law, well, you got to register. So, and who wants to register a firearm to the government? Kind of defeats the whole purpose, which more on that in a moment. It says, the recent flurry of activity in Virginia on gun policy comes in the wake of Democrats' November 5th takeover of both houses of the General Assembly in Richmond, an electoral development that some observers say completes the years-long transition of the formerly red state into a blue state. You see where this is headed? Democrats now control all the levers of political power at the state level, including the governorship and the attorney general's office. Very important paragraph. I'll read it again. All of this activity on gun policy, in other words, gun confiscation, gun registry, all of this. While they've been talking about this for a long time, the recent flurry of activity comes in the wake of Democrats' November 5th takeover of both houses of the General Assembly, an electoral development that some observers say completes the years-long transition of the formerly red state, Virginia used to be a deep red Republican state, into a blue state. Democrats now control all the levers of political power at the state level. The governorship, the Attorney General's office, majorities in both houses of the General Assembly. So understand what has precipitated gun confiscation. It is mass takeover of the political apparatus by Democrats. What do you think precipitated that? More on that in a moment with the whiteboard. The article says, the left's assault on Second Amendment rights moved into high gear after a May 31st shooting in Virginia Beach that left 12 people dead, which boosted gun control proposals and emboldened activists. Every Town for Gun Safety, a gun control pressure group created in 2014 by Michael Bloomberg, spent $2.5 million in the state this year to elect pro-gun control Democrats. After Democrats flipped control of the legislature, Northam Attorney General Mark Herring and incoming Senate Majority Leader Dick Sazlaw took strong public stance promising criminal charges for gun owners who refused to surrender their guns and use the National Guard to enforce any new gun laws that may be enacted. Criminal charges for gun owners that refuse to surrender their firearms and to use the National Guard to enforce new gun laws that may be enacted. The National Guard, not the police, the National Guard. Again, it's another critical difference. It says Sazlaw's new legislation banning specific varieties of firearms was pre-filed for the legislative session that begins next month. Red flag confiscation laws and universal background checks are also expected to resurface in the coming legislative session. All of that has caused a grassroots backlash across the Commonwealth. More than 80 of Virginia's 95 counties have since declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries, vowing not to enforce gun laws they deem unconstitutional. For example, Culpeper County Sheriff Scott H. Jenkins has taken things a step further than any other gun rights supporters after his county's Board of Supervisors unanimously declared the county a Second Amendment sanctuary, vowing to push back against new gun control laws by deputizing thousands of county residents. So this is what's happening now. You could see where this could begin to spiral out of control. You know, why the title is, you know, gun confiscation and therefore civil war incoming. You know, for years, we have heard this debate about gun control, and underlying our position in favor of the Second Amendment is ultimately the threat of resistance. That at a certain point, you know, we will cross a threshold. And the argument on, you know, a lot of people on our side is that we have to be eternally vigilant because we could cross this threshold without noticing it. But, you know, underlying our position is that at a certain point, the government will push too far and we will then have to resist them. Now, so far, we have not really determined what that threshold is because we have horrible gun control in most of the major population centers, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York City, D.C., you know. So you look at a lot of the major metropolitan areas, you've already got de facto gun bans, right? You've seen gun confiscation in places like, I think, Louisiana. You've seen background checks, red flag laws implemented across the country. So for a long time, we have sort of implicitly had it in mind that, well, at a certain point, if the government ever comes for our guns, well, we're going to say no. And we're going to keep our firearms. And if that means we have to defend our firearms with our firearms, and so be it. That is typically what is underlying a lot of the arguments in favor of the Second Amendment. And like I said, the problem is where exactly do you create a clear demarcation between confiscation and, you know, so-called sensible legislation or something we could live with, some kind of compromise or settlement. And that has been a point of concern for a lot of people because, of course, the concern is you slowly boil the frog, so to speak. You slowly introduce sweeping gun control incrementally, gradually over years, and then you wake up one day and you can't really fight back and they're going to come for your guns, right? And you can't really defend yourself. Well, this is the first time. This is the first time probably in my lifetime or since I've been paying attention to politics when you've seen at an institutional level and at the level of rhetoric, people drawing a hard demarcation and saying, you know, if you use the National Guard, if the police will not enforce it, and now Governor Northam is saying, well, if police won't enforce it, we'll order the National Guard to come confiscate your guns, well, then we're drawing the line there. And sheriffs and county governments and so on, you're going to have some kind of legal institutional support that's going to say, we're not going to play ball. We will resist these laws. It will be the county sheriff and the police against the National Guard. This is the first time we've really seen something like this. And people would be prudent to really think long and hard about, do we really want that to happen? And I don't say that from the perspective of, should we really defend our rights? I mean from the perspective of Democrats. Do Democrats really want that to happen? Do they really want to push the envelope on that? Is that really something they think would be a good idea? Because I think that, you know, with the election of Trump, obviously things are hyper-partisan, polarized. Is this really the climate? Is this really? And I think things are coming to a head. Maybe in some sense this was inevitable. But do you think it would be a good idea to push now on gun control in this manner with the National Guard, gun confiscation? I think we all know what the outcome will be. It's not going to be one that I think anybody's really going to like. It's something that might be necessary, but probably one that people are not going to like. In any case, this brings to mind, again, the question of how did we arrive here? You know, why are they pushing just outright gun confiscation? What permits a governor like Ralph Northam to say, we're going to confiscate your guns? And sheriffs reply, well, we are not going to allow that. That's unconstitutional. What permits a governor to then say, we will send the National Guard to overrule the sheriffs, to overrule municipal governments, and we will have gun confiscation? What permits something like this? What permits a policy so egregious, so obviously unconstitutional, a naked power grab? What would permit something like this to happen? What has changed? Well, as the article said, Democrats now control all political power. They wield all the levers of political power in the state. They've got both chambers of the Virginia Assembly. They've got the Attorney General. They've got the governor. They've got everybody, virtually everybody in the state government who is full-throated, hardcore, not even blue dog Democrat, but hardcore progressive Democrat, specifically in favor of gun control. And the question is, how did we get there? Because it doesn't stop there. A lot of people stop there and they say, you know, we can't elect Democrats because Democrats are going to take our guns. Conversely, or in another way, we can't vote for, or rather, we can't let Democrats get into office because Democrats will pass socialism. They will create socialism in America. We can't have Democrats in office because they will make taxes higher. Things like that. They stop there. We have bad policies. How to get bad policies? Democrats in office. Well, how does a deep red state like Virginia become deep blue? That doesn't happen by accident. That doesn't happen naturally. That is not the natural evolution of things. In fact, most of the people that have been in Virginia, intergenerationally, the Native Americans in Virginia, would make the state overwhelmingly Republican. But of course, it's not simply the Native American population in Virginia anymore. And by that, I mean people born in the United States of America. It's a lot of other people. What precipitated this latest bid for gun confiscation was an election, the election on November 5th, which propelled Democrats to this unprecedented position of power in a state like Virginia that, in the words of the Epoch Times, completed the cycle from red to blue. Now, what made that happen? This is a quote from the New York Times after election night. It says, quote, "Not long ago, this rolling green stretch of northern Virginia was farmland. Most people who could vote had grown up here. And when they did, they usually chose Republicans. The fields of Loudoun County are disappearing. In their place is row upon row of cookie-cutter townhouses, clipped lawns, and cul-de-sacs, a suburban landscape for as far as the eye can see. Unlike 3 decades ago, the residents are often from other places, like India and Korea. And when they vote, it is often for Democrats." Because, of course, we know that if you're looking at Asians in particular, India and Korea, they vote 75%. For Democrats. This has happened in the last 30 years. This is the New York Times. It says, "Once the heart of the Confederacy, Virginia is now the land of Indian grocery stores, Korean churches, and Diwali festivals." I don't even know what that is. "The state population has boomed up by 38% since 1990, with the biggest growth in densely settled suburban areas like South Riding. 1 in 10 people eligible to vote in the state were born outside the United States, up from 1 in 28 in 1990. It is also significantly less white. In 1990, the census tracts that made up Mr. Katkuri's Senate district were home to about 35,000 people, 91% of them white. Today's population of 225,000 is just 64% white." Charles Poland says, quote, "It is a totally different world." He's an 85-year-old retired history professor whose family has lived in Loudoun County for 4 generations. His family farm is now dotted with subdivisions, filled with 4 and 5 bedroom homes that sell for $750,000. The family legacy is a road named Poland. He said, quote, "If my parents came back today, they would not recognize the place. The changes came like a tidal wave." That's the New York Times. Washington Post said something similar. It said, "Virginia now stands as a fearful avatar for Republicans of what the nation's unrelenting demographic and cultural changes mean for the party. As the moderate to liberal urban and suburban areas grow, and more conservative rural areas lose ground. Similar shifts are starting to hit such states as North Carolina, Arizona, Georgia, and of course, Texas. As minority populations, and we shouldn't even say minority anymore, we should say non-white, because pretty soon we're all going to be minorities, the term doesn't mean anything. As non-white populations increase and white college-educated voters continue to turn away from the Republican brand. So Washington Post, New York Times, again, this is not American Renaissance, this is not white nationalist V. Dare, right? This is the New York Times and the Washington Post saying, how do you get Democrats in control of the governorship, deputy governorship, attorney general, both chambers of the Virginia Assembly? How do you get blanket gun confiscation? It is directly tied to demographic change. It is directly tied, in other words, to mass immigration. And so a lot of people don't see the connection between these two things. But we can see very, very clearly in the case of Virginia how everything proceeds from immigration. And to show you how that is, I could tell you how it is, but I could also show you with a whiteboard the cycle of what's happening in our country. Maybe this will show you in a very visual way the process that is taking place, how we get to a blue Virginia, how we get gun confiscation. We've got a nice little flow chart here. As I said, it will show you how gun confiscation and other bad policies proceed. They are the consequence of mass immigration. So I'll turn down my brightness here so you can see a little bit better. This is the cycle that we have witnessed for the past 50 years. You've got step one. Immigrants come to America. Now, most people have no problem with this. People have a problem with gun confiscation. They've got a problem with socialism, big government. They've got a problem with high taxes, people not assimilating. But most conservatives even are in favor of step one. Immigrants are coming to America. America's a nation of immigrants, right? Just like our ancestors, you know? Our ancestors came from Italy and England and Germany and Sweden and Spain and Poland. Now they're coming from Mexico. I'm sure that's fine. I'm sure that's a totally trivial, arbitrary difference. Now they're coming from China and India and Korea. So even if you're a Polish, you'd come and settle in the, as the New York Times says, these green mountains, these green hills, I should say, in Northern Virginia for generations. If you're Polish, you were English, just like people had for centuries. Now it's suburban townhouses filled with Koreans and Indians. I'm sure that's all, it's all qualitatively the same. So first step is immigrants come to America. Of course, step number two is the immigrants vote Democrat. We all know this. Everybody knows this implicitly, even if they don't acknowledge it consciously. We know that blacks vote 91% on a bad day for Democrats. On a good day, they vote 98% for Democrats. We saw that in 2008 with Barack Obama. We saw that in recent governor's elections in the South last month in November. The Louisiana governorship, the Mississippi governorship, 98% blacks for Democrats. We see in California and across the country with Hispanics, 75% for Democrats. Hispanics have not in this century, voted more than 35% for a Republican president. Asians, 75% Democrat. So across the board, Asians and Hispanics at 75%, that's like the low water mark. And for blacks, the low water mark is 90%. So we know that immigrants are coming to America. The immigrants are all non-white. Virtually all of them are from either Africa, Asia, or Latin America. The immigrants come to the country, and because they are non-white, they vote Democrat, you know, and we've talked a lot about why that is. That's probably another show, but they come here and they do vote Democrat, whether you understand it, whether you say it's because of they're not assimilating or they've been lied to by the media. They just haven't read Milton Friedman enough, but that's what's happening. Number three, Democrats win elections. That is what happened in California. I will keep saying this because I think people forget. But Ronald Reagan won California 4 times. Richard Nixon won California 6 times, easily. Richard Nixon won California 6 times, easily. Ronald Reagan won California 4 times, easily. We won California in 1988. George H.W. Bush did. I mean, that's not, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a really long time ago. Why is California now a deep blue, hardcore, progressive, liberal shithole? Who do you think drove that electoral change and subsequent change in policy and therefore, change in quality of life? Well, it was mass immigration, and we know where it came from. It came from Asia, and it came from Latin America. This is the same process happening in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, and yes, Virginia. So immigrants come to America, they vote for Democrats. Democrats win elections because they're driving all the population growth, the immigrants are. And this is the most important point. This is the longest point. These are all pretty simple and obvious, but this is the ultimate outcome. Of course, we know this too. Democrats pass policies that further the dispossession of Native Americans. They further the dispossession of the Native American population. I'm not talking about American Indians. I'm talking about the people that have lived in this country for generations, which is mostly white people. They pass policies that further the dispossession of white people. What do you think chief among those policies would be? More immigration. This is the cycle that has eroded the country. And of course, this is really where everything starts to shoot out from. Once Democrats get in power, they pass not just immigration, but a variety of policies that further the dispossession of the Native people. They pass things, for example, like going after guns. You know, they want to go after the Second Amendment. They want to do gun confiscation. They want to pass gun control. New immigrants do not believe in the Second Amendment. You can look at Pew Research. There is not a single non-white group of people. There's not a single non-white demographic in America that the majority of them support your right to bear arms. Not a single one. Pew Research. They also do things like they vote for hate speech legislation, like we have been seeing in New York City. It's now illegal to use illegal immigrant as a pejorative. We saw in Connecticut, some kid got arrested for saying the N-word. In Naperville, not far from where I live, some kid got arrested for making a racist joke. A high schooler got arrested for making a racist joke against a black classmate. They go after the First Amendment. There's another area. Pew Research says, again, not a single non-white demographic in America is not in favor of hate speech laws. Does not believe that the First Amendment is immune from hate speech, right? Or they don't believe that First Amendment protects hate speech. They don't believe that. So you get anti-First Amendment. You get, of course, socialism. You get, of course, a variety of other things that are meant to facilitate Democrat electoral victories, like expanding the franchise, making democracy more direct, you know, doing away with the Electoral College, letting prisoners vote, letting you vote without an ID, right? Eroding the process of a legitimate election. So this is really the part where people are missing. I think everybody gets this. Everybody gets this part. Yeah, immigrants are coming here. They're voting Democrat. Democrats are winning elections. We understand all that. And people want to explain it away. Well, here's why. Well, here's what we need to do. Whatever. But, I mean, this is ultimately the outcome. And why do you think Democrats are bringing in more immigrants? Because they know that immigrants will perpetuate this. They know that immigrants will perpetuate this system. What they are doing is weaponizing foreign populations against the Native American population. That is what we're seeing. It is the weaponization of foreign populations against the Native people because they know, I mean, you know, just look at the way they vote. They know that these people come over here and they will reliably vote for Democrats. They will not be asking questions. They will not be scrutinizing things. If anything, they become more Democratic as they stay here longer. Particularly, you see this with Asians. Obviously, Blacks have been here forever and they vote Democrat more than anybody. Right? What is the end goal of all of this? Well, in the first place, the first sort of situation is you're going to see white people become a minority in America. That's because of immigration. You know, they bring in immigrants, immigrants vote for mass immigration, and as a consequence, you just get this endless cycle of immigrants coming here, immigrants vote for more immigrants come here. The immigrants come here, vote for more immigrants come here. I mean, that's really the cycle, right? But it's perpetuating other cycles. There's other externalities of this as well. So the first consequence is that, you know, Democrats will solidify their control over the country and white people become a minority. Now, here's where gun control plays a really important part. Why do a lot of Republicans say we need the Second Amendment? What do they talk about specifically? What are some specific arguments they use against gun control? What examples? When they're trying to appeal particularly to minorities. Minorities. They say, well, the first thing that Hitler did when he got into power was he took away the guns. If Jews had guns, they could have protected themselves against the Holocaust. They would have never been turned into lampshades and bars of soap if they just had their firearms. I don't know if that happened or not. I have to check with the Holocaust Museum, that part of it. You know, what about slavery? They say, well, blacks need firearms because firearms protected them against the KKK during the period of Reconstruction in the post-war South, right? They say that minorities need firearms to protect themselves. What are we going to be in 30 years. What is the countdown? I think it's like 28 years. We're going to become a minority. So when conservatives make these arguments about, you know, well, the Nazis took the guns and, you know, racist Southerners took away guns from blacks, we have sort of like this very patronizing attitude. Like, well, look, black people, you should support the Second Amendment because historically, look at what happened to you. We should be thinking about us. We should not be thinking about the Second Amendment in terms of the post-war South and Nazi Germany, because that's why Jews should support the Second Amendment, or that's why blacks should support the Second Amendment. Those people will be in the majority. I mean, obviously, Jews are 2% of the population, but I mean, they will be a part of the non-European, non-white majority, the so-called people of color coalition of the ascendant that is ruling the Democratic Party. Same with blacks. You know, blacks are 13% of the population, but they are in line with that coalition of non-white, anti-white, this voting bloc in the Democratic Party. So think about that. When we're telling people that you should support the Second Amendment because think about your ancestors, they needed it. No, we should think about it because we're going to be the blacks in the Reconstruction era South. We're going to be the Jews in Nazi Germany. We're going to be the hated minority. What do you think is going to happen in the next 30 to 40 years? They're going to take away the First Amendment, so you can't have hate speech. What does hate speech mean? You can't say anything negative about non-white people. We know that you can say negative things about white people. We know that the anti-white hatred in media goes on all day long, and it's not called out by law enforcement. You know, not even close to law enforcement. It's not even called out by the media. It's not even called out by anti-racists, so-called anti-racists, and anybody like that. It's not even called out by conservatives. So they're going to go after the First Amendment, and they're going to say hate speech is now illegal. So we can't even talk about things like this. That conversation's gone. Right? They're going to expand the franchise. Illegal immigrants are going to get to vote. Prisoners are going to get to vote. They're going to encourage voter fraud. You don't need an ID to vote. This will only facilitate this process. The dispossession will continue. And then what do you think is going to happen when we're in a minority? What do you think these very vindictive, vengeful people are going to do when they get into power in states like California and Virginia? They're going to take your guns. And then what are they going to do when they take your guns? Then they're going to demand reparations. Do you see where this is going? Do you see what this is really about at the end of the day? They're going to demand reparations, affirmative action. We are looking in real time at the creation of an apartheid state in America. We all know that's where it's headed. Nobody would call it that when whites were in the majority. Affirmative action is obviously a policy that benefits non-whites at the expense of whites, right? We look at all kinds of redistributive economic programs that benefit non-whites at the expense of whites. You know, all kinds of civil rights things. I mean, my parents grew up in Chicago. They had a business in Chicago. They could tell you about the abuses that went on, the kinds of wealth transfers and rules and all the different programs. I mean, we know about this. We're in the majority. It's almost like, well, we feel that's our noblesse oblige, and maybe, you know, we feel bad for them. It comes from a place of pity or benevolence or generosity, something like that. In other words, we don't really feel bad about doing it. What does that look like when we're in the minority? What does reparations look like when we're in the minority and we don't have guns? That is an apartheid state. When non-white people have certain privileges and we don't, that is called an apartheid state. And it might sound crazy right now. That might sound like something so far-fetched right now because we do not have any experience in this country living as a minority. And think about that. Who wants to live as a minority? Is that like a fun time? What has the media told us for like 50 years? Being a minority is the hardest thing. No matter what, being a minority is just the worst. People get you down. People discriminate against you. They're just mean to you. They're negative. They don't just swim in the pool. They don't just drink out of the water fountain and so on. That's where we're headed. Now, do you feel good about heading into minority status? Do you think that the people that are ascendant in this country, Democrats leading this charge of people of color against the white supremacists, you feel really comfortable? You feel really good about that? You think that they are going to be benevolent to us as a minority as we are to them right now? Do you think that when we become a minority, when that day happens, that all these policies are going to flip and suddenly whites will become the beneficiaries of affirmative action and whites will become the beneficiaries of, you know, all these government programs, and we will be aggressively inserted in movies and advertisements for representation? Do you think we'll have our own advocacy group? No. When white people advocate for their own interests, it's called white supremacist. It's called white nationalist. We have a variety of, you know, white advocacy groups, American Renaissance, American Identity Movement, VDARE, all these kind of, I mean, in some sense are in favor of that. And what are they all called? They're all called white supremacists. They're targeted by the SPLC, the ADL, and so on. This is the big picture. This is the end game. That's where South Africa comes in. That is exactly where South Africa comes in. You know, people wonder what bearing the situation in South Africa has on our current situation. There's a country where whites were in the minority, and it was like the year. It was the moment that it became democratic, and they were outvoted and outnumbered by the majority that was non-white. What happened to them? They were forced to flee. Their farms were seized. They were tortured, raped, scalped. It's ongoing. It's a genocide. Is it crazy to say that that could be our future in America? Maybe it's far off in the distance, but where's the arrow pointing? What is the trajectory right now? Because this is what I see happening in every single state in the country. Every single state in the country, this is happening, and you know this. It's happening. What happened in California? The immigrants came to California. The immigrants voted Democrat. Democrats got elected. Democrats passed all this, right? Anti-free speech, anti-Second Amendment, facilitating the rest. Conditions got bad. Quality of life got bad. White people are in the minority, right? What is happening in Texas, Arizona, Georgia, Virginia? Immigrants are coming into these states. They're voting Democrat. They're getting Democrats elected. They're getting complete, unprecedented control of the government. And they're passing policies that continue to facilitate this process and make it worse. That's the long game. That's the long game. That's how it all fits together. You cannot oppose any of the fruits of this without opposing step number one. You can't oppose step number four without opposing step number one. In other words, boomers think it's so bad, socialism and big government and high taxes and gun control and abortion. And I am with you. I'm with you. I'm not a socialist. I'm also not like a hyper free market guy, but I'm not a socialist. I'm not in favor of public health care. I'm not in favor of gun control. I'm not in favor of abortion. But they will say they're against all those things, but then at the same time say, well, immigrants are fine. They just have to come here legally. They just have to come here legally. They just have to figure out the paperwork. And immigrants coming here is actually a good thing. We need them. We need them for our economy. We need them. Donald Trump said unemployment is so low that the big firms need them to fill the jobs. White people won't take the jobs. So we don't like gun control, anti, all the rest, but we do on immigrants. What is the consequence? What is the consequence? Immigrants come here and it comes full circle. And Democrats vote for more immigration and the cycle goes on. This has been going on for 50 years. This is what the New York Times describes as a tidal wave. It is a tidal wave. What did this guy say? Charles Poland, the 85-year-old retired history professor from one of these counties in Virginia. He said it is a totally different world. His family farm is now dotted with subdivisions filled with 4 and 5 bedroom homes that sell for $750,000. He said, if my parents came back today, they wouldn't recognize the place. The changes came like a tidal wave. This is the tidal wave. This is how a tidal wave starts. This is how it grows. It's like a hurricane. It's metastasizing. It's growing off the coast. And it's crashing onto our shores. It's crashing all the way into the inland in the interior of the country. And it is destroying everything in its path. And ultimately, you know, people say, well, so what? You're against immigration because Republicans can't win elections? No. It's because what do these people do when they get into office? They bring in more of them. And they pass more bad policies. So sure, I mean, California is bad because of immigrants. And who let in the immigrants was Democrats. But it's also bad because of all these other things that are going on too. In short, you really can't oppose anything bad in the country without seeing what the root cause of it is. Now, in some sense, you know, maybe off to the side, you've got WASPs and a certain other group that introduced the first wave of immigrants, right? And in a certain sense, you got to, something had to get the ball rolling over here. Maybe that's a relevant conversation for another day. That somewhere out here, you know, there was a sort of like moon-like structure. There was some kind of hexagonal structure that projected this initial trend, you know, and sure, it was a lot of WASPs, a lot of other people too. And they really got the ball rolling and they kind of pushed it. But now it is just self-sustaining. It is self-perpetuating. How do you put a stop to it? How do you put a stop to these states turning blue and them taking our guns and taking away our free speech and our country's becoming unrecognizable? Hey, stop bringing them here. Stop bringing them here. Stop bringing them here. We've had enough. We have a problem with them. I don't hate immigrants. They just can't be here. I don't hate you. I just don't want you to come live in my house, right? How many people are watching the show right now? I don't hate everyone watching the show, but I also don't want them to come flooding through my front door and eating my food and laying on my couch and breathing my air and shitting on the floor and shooting up on the floor, right? And drinking out of the toilet and they've got tuberculosis, but I also don't want that. That doesn't mean I hate you. I just don't want you to live in my house. I don't hate immigrants, but they just can't be here. I love immigrants. I just love them where they are. I love them before they emigrate from their country. I don't hate anybody. I just love them where they are. You know, when Chinese are in China, oh, knock your socks off. Indians in India, wow, great. That's such a pungent, such a pungent smell. Mexico, oh, I'm Mexican. Oh, I love Mexico. But Mexico is over there. It's not here. And this is what people have to come to grips with. This explains it all. This is the cycle, and this is the part that is really the trick. This is the stream. This is the tidal wave that is eroding the traditional American nation. Everything about it. Its culture, its people, its heroes, its history, its holidays, its songs, its dances, its mythology, its flag. Everything is being destroyed and eroded by this process. And the best part about it is this will cause externalities that will make it impossible to stop it. Taking away your guns, what do you think that's about? Taking away your free speech, what do you think that's about? They know what they're doing. Externalities are shooting off of this cycle. And part of the erosion is they're taking away the ability for us to put a stop to this or to resist it if it gets too bad. Because that's what their end game is in mind. What's going to happen when we're in the minority and the media still hates us and the history textbooks still say that white people are evil and they enslaved blacks and they killed Native Americans and they bullied Asians, right? And they holocausted Jews. What do you think is gonna happen? Media hates us. Textbooks are teaching anti-white history. We don't have guns. We can't have hate speech. You know, hate speech is outlawed. And now they're demanding reparations. Does it really take a strong imagination to figure out what kind of country that's gonna look like? What is happening there? It's extortion. It's extortion. They're coming here, stealing the land, stealing our resources, expropriating it at gunpoint. And that's what it is. We don't want to be a minority, and they don't want to be a minority too. And those things are mutually exclusive, right? They don't want to be a minority. Nobody does. And we don't either. But, you know, I also want to look out for my own self-interest in a certain sense. This is called tribalism. This is unavoidable. Nobody wants to be in the minority. Nobody in a multiracial, democratic country wants to pull the short end of the stick. Nobody wants to believe or nobody wants to feel like they're on the outside. Nobody wants to feel like they're not getting as much public services as another group. Nobody wants to feel like they're footing the bill for another group. Nobody wants to be a minority. But somebody has to be a minority. And is it going to be white people or non-white people? This is tribalism. We cannot pretend that these urges and impulses, that these realities don't exist. We cannot hand wave them away and say, I'm not cynical, like Charlie Kirk does. I'm not cynical. I'm not listening. I'm not cynical. I'm just not cynical. I'm not cynical. Well, they're pretty fucking cynical. You know, apologies for the language, but what do we see on Netflix all day long? Dear white people, New Year's resolutions for white people. White people can't dance. White people are evil. Fuck white people. Okay? So yeah, maybe we're not cynical. That's the problem because they're pretty fucking cynical and they're the ones going to be running the government and we're not going to have any guns and we're not going to have the numbers and we're not going to have the government. And what do we do then? What do our children do then? What do our grandchildren do then? What are the options then? You know, but that's really racist. Oh, but you know, hey, if you speak out about it, you get called a racist. So I get it. If you don't talk about it, oh, I get it. You get called a mean name. So this is when I said it's an important show, great show. This is what ties it all together. You have to put a stop to the demographic change. It's the root of so much of this. And you know, we can sort of get autistic and say, well, what's the root of demographic change? But fundamentally, it's people coming here and in a democratic system, they have a say and their say is wrong. I mean, that's what it is. So that's the whiteboard. I hope that kind of spells it out here. You know, gun confiscation is incoming in Virginia. And what do you have to blame for it? And where did it come from? We all know that whatever happens in Virginia, it's so picture perfect. whatever happened in Virginia proceeded directly from mass immigration. It is a direct consequence of mass immigration. And I don't know, maybe Virginia has to go up like that. Maybe it has to go up like that for people to see what we've been saying all along. What have I been saying? What have we been saying for years? Diversity creates conflict. Multiracialism creates conflict. I don't have a problem. Notice, in this whole show, I didn't bring up race and IQ, I didn't bring up class, I didn't bring up culture, assimilation, nothing like that. But just by its very nature, bringing in people that are different from one another, in some cases diametrically opposite on matters of faith, culture, a lot of things, it breeds conflict. Maybe people need to see that. You know, if Virginia goes up and the government's taking guns, maybe people need to see what led to that. That is our future. If you miss the message, if you miss the warning with California, maybe you'll see it in Virginia. You know, California, oh, like, I don't know, I guess that was always sort of hippy-dippy out there. Virginia, that's where the Confederate States of America started. And now they're passing gun control. And where did it come from? How did Democrats get control over everything in the state apparatus? It wasn't the people that have lived there for every generation. It was the 38% of population growth accounted for mostly by immigrants in the last 30 years that delivered this. And that same process is happening everywhere. That's our whole country. Am I missing something? And that's why we want Charlie Kirk, and, you know, not to bring it back to Groyper Wars, but I mean, really, that is why we did that whole thing with Charlie Kirk and everybody else. What are we missing? Please tell us how immigration wins the culture war. How does this win the war for our country, the traditional American nation? How do we put America first and concurrently be in favor of this invasion from all angles? I mean, nobody has an answer for that. Nobody has an answer for that. They will simply say, well, look at what you said a year ago. You made a joke a year ago. You're a bad person. You're discredited. Oh, that's racist. I'm not cynical. These are all evasions, but the reality is there, and the reality is in Virginia. But anyway, you get the picture. You get the picture. It's very important stuff. But we're going to move on. We're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all of this. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know what we're going to do. That's just it. That's the question. In some sense, what has been set in motion cannot be stopped. And in a certain sense, this process that has been set in motion cannot be easily stopped or undone. You know, but people need to be made aware of it first, right? But of course, people need to be made aware that this is going on before we can begin to wonder how we're going to address this. What does the solution look like? You know, what kind of settlement, what kind of compromise, what can we do to address this? Because I'm saying this to somebody that's saying, doomsday, I don't want the America to end. So how can we work something out that is going to work for everybody, right? Or, you know, that is going to be, at the very minimum, satisfactory for everybody. Everybody can live with this. Because we're headed for catastrophe right now, and you see how that's going to unfold. But anyway, as promised, we'll take a look at the Super Chats. We've got Mr. Corgi, who says, I'm sure the Roaring Twenties will be cool, but is anyone else really sad to see the 2010s end? Maybe it's just my existential black pill, but I feel like time is going by way too fast, and I feel the same way. 2010s flew by, but... And I'm sure the 2020s will go even faster. We're approaching time wave zero, right? So it's really, we're just sort of in that spiral. We're headed in. Synchronicity is about to kick up, but I hear you. A very, very serious show tonight. I talk about a case of the Mondays. Very serious show. And I have to loosen up a little bit for the Super Chats here. Cabin in the Woods says something that's not in English. Thanks. Magazog says, if all the mass immigration and illegal immigrants were single mothers, is instantly Democrat. What? Is instantly be a Democrat? I don't know what you're saying. V2 says, what do you think about ISIS executing one of its members for being a homosexual? His name was Mehbe al-Zouk something. I don't know. I mean, ISIS kind of executes a lot of people, right? I don't know. I mean, if you're a homosexual in ISIS, I'm not in favor of executing, you know, I guess most people, I would say. For the sake of the community guidelines, I'm not in favor of executing anybody, right? Maybe execute political traitors and things like that. But I don't know. It's like if you're an ISIS and you're like a homosexual, it's like, what are you thinking? You know, it's like, what, did you not know what they were about? How could you be a homosexual and join ISIS? Like, hey, wait a second. You guys are against this? I don't know. I mean, what do you expect? At a certain, I mean, I'm saying it's justified. It's like cause and effect, right? Cabin in the Woods says, Democrats are the real racists. Thank you for that. Thank you for that contribution. Gen X says, I was wondering your thoughts on what is more of the problem. Very active deep blue areas or red areas that are asleep. Either way, keep up the good work and best wishes. Well, of course, it's, I mean, these are both factors. I wouldn't say, I mean, you could say what is more of a problem, but I mean, this is something that's eating at us from both sides. The fact that, you know, in a lot of ways, there is a little bit of an underrepresentation on the part of rural parts or even white voting, but it's also the activation of the other side. So I would say it's sort of on both sides, but really predominantly it's the expansion of the blue areas, college-educated whites and non-whites. Not college-educated, not all non-whites and college-educated whites. I mean, that is really the problem in terms of what is driving the Republican Party's what is destroying their viability is that trend, is what I mean. Harry says, did you hear about what happened to Tessa Majors? No. Is that, I was a little hesitant. I don't know if that's like some kind of phonetic thing. Let's see. 13-year-old stabbed Tessa Majors. Nah, maybe I'll cover this tomorrow. I didn't see this. Let's see. Cabin in the Woods says, Grant, police Indiana are reportedly tracking a UFO. Okay. Living Stranger says, hey, big guy, you're part of my morning routine and my wage job. I finally listened to Kanye West for the first time. I'm now a fan. Also, what's with Jay Dyer's crusade against Catholicism? Well, glad you're a Kanye fan. I know. This is what everybody says to me. Everybody's like, oh, Nick, I don't like rap music. I don't listen to rap. It's like, well, you don't like rap because you don't listen to it. And Kanye's also on like a different level than most. Most people think of rap as like really shitty, like trap music, or they think of it as like really crappy, like gangster rap from like the 2000s. But Kanye is, I mean, he totally changed the game with the trilogy, with 808s, you know, so I'm glad you're one of those. And Jay Dyer, I don't know, I mean, here's the thing, like, I like Jay Dyer, I think he's a smart guy. Well, he is a smart guy, he's very well-read, obviously. He's an expert on, you know, the church fathers and on theology and everything else. But even when I talked to him, I did a debate with him a couple of years ago, and admittedly, I was a little bit out of my, well, I was out of my depth. You know, I'm not a theologian. I really just don't have that background. My background really is in politics. And even in our conversation, he thought this was sort of like a bad faith arguing tactic. But I said, like, why do you hate Catholics, dude? Like, you were a Catholic for a long time. And moreover, like, we're, you know, compared to, like, Protestants or atheists or, you know, other groups, Satanists. I mean, what's with the crusade against Catholics? So, I don't know. There is a lot of vitriol there. I don't know where it comes from. I don't harbor that same feeling towards Orthodox. I mean, we joke around about Protestants and Orthodox, but, I mean, I fundamentally see Christians as brothers in Christ on some level. I mean, we all believe in the resurrection. We all believe in, you know, more or less in baptism. We all believe in these kinds of things. So, I see the enemy as the devil. I see the enemy as atheists, people that worship the devil, that commune with the devil through, you know, weird rituals and things like that. That's who I'm concerned about. And I mean, we can have internal debates, and obviously it's important to get doctrine right and save people by getting them to the church, but I don't think there's any need for the kind of, it seems like a lot of animosity. But that's just my impression. I don't really follow too closely what happens with them. Really Good Comics says, cool idea incoming, an RGC-style game that plays like Grand Theft Auto and you can punch women and all their teeth blast out at once. Also, there's a hard mode where if you get a game over, your IP address and phone number gets sent to me. Well, I'm going to have to disavow, you know, new community guidelines. Going to have to disavow. That sounds like a very virtual violence. That sounds like a very terrible thing. But I don't know, maybe I'd review it. Maybe I'd review it if you made something like that. Base Leaf says, Kanye can't jump. Okay. Cabin in the Woods says, you have Irish knicker fans. Really respect the optics and whole aesthetic you've cultivated. Making more ground than Wignats. TX Wignats. Well, hey, I'm glad to hear somebody admit that. You know, here's the thing. What I'm concerned about at the end of the day is getting these issues into the mainstream, and like, that's it, you know? So people can use names and whatever, but it's like, you know, the issues we're about, we are trying to just succeed. We need to be willing to do anything it takes that is moral to to succeed in that regard, to succeed in this battle. So I'm glad that you are judging by, you know, the outcome. I'm glad that you're judging by our what we've been able to produce. Let's see. And the web says, when are GLS invites being sent out? They've mostly all been sent out already. Cabin in the Woods says, wow, 3,000 euro super chat. Thanks, big guy. You're a king. Yeah. Thanks for the 2 euro super chat. Much appreciated. Groiper Convert says, what happened to the chat? I don't know what you're talking about. Killer Bean. I can't read that. Cabin of the Woods says, handsome king, can we get an F for the feds in chat? Sure. Let's see. Livid City says, what's your opinion on shows like Friends and How I Met Your Mother when they showcase hookup culture and degeneracy in a positive light? It's not even that to me so much as they're just not funny. They're just bad shows. If you like Friends, like, you're just an NPC. I'm sorry, but I don't see how somebody with an internal monologue, I don't see how anybody that's like is a conscious, aware person, I don't see how anybody could watch Friends and enjoy it, or How I Met Your Mother for that matter. That show is just absolutely like the lowest level of entertainment to me. That is just like slop in the trough, you know? It's like that movie iRobot. You ever seen the movie iRobot with Will Smith? Hello, retard moment. Hello, Rubio moment. There's one scene. Well, it's not one scene, but the whole movie's about a robot who's like has blue eyes, right? The robot's name is Sonny, and he's got blue eyes. And all the other robots have black eyes, but he's got blue eyes, and he can dream, and he can like think, and he's like, what am I? You know, that to me is like not an NPC, you know? And so when I use the NPC meme, that's kind of like what I'm thinking about, is people that are like, whoa, like I'm real. I'm a person. Everyone else is kind of like on autopilot. And that to me is the kind of person that watches Friends. That to me is sort of like the unthinking sort of like automaton. I mean, just like a very mechanistic sort of brain that can watch Friends and be entertained. Joey's stupid. Chandler made a bad joke. It's like, oh, like, what's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? You know, or How I Met Your Mother. I mean, that is just like, I remember in high school, I had to deal with these kinds of people that were like, dude, they were always like aping, you know, jokes and scenes from How I Met Your Mother. And, oh, How I Met Your Mother is like really cool. It's like, really, dude? Like, you watch Dane Cook specials unironically. Yeah, you've got really great taste in comedy, bro. Anyway, so I just think they're, it's just trash. Forget even the social messaging. Sure, I mean, that probably planted the seeds for a lot of bad stuff, but I mean, to me, they're just bad shows is the problem. Cabin of the Woods says, like the video, yeah. Freshest Wagey says, Earth Been Flat, yeah. Bob Sakamoto says, big fan of the bombastic titles. I'm glad somebody appreciates. All capital letters, question marks. Gun confiscation incoming, civil war when? Sun Game says, what if she's allergic to your dog? Dude, I'm allergic to my dog. That's why I got to get out of here. DB Cooper says, I love you, Nick, but what's up with this Catboy crap? Here's somebody who doesn't get it. Please stop watching the show. Anti-Rude, what's up with this Catboy crap? Okay, Boomer. Hello, not getting it department. You know, people that don't understand the Catboy thing, it's like, you just don't get it. And you're never really going to get it. So, Anti-Rude says, finally watching Evangelion, and I notice it's got a lot of themes regarding father deprivation. Also, JBP radicalized me to make Misato clean her room. Father deprivation. Well, I see what you mean. You know, NGE has themes about fathers. Wow, it's a very, very hot take. I never thought of it that way. NGE is a story about when your father abandons you. Really? I don't know. Are you sure about that? Are you some kind of anime scholar? Billy Mays says, Charlie Kirk be like, I do not associate with knickers. Yeah, Charlie Kirk be like, here's the water fountain for the knickers. Here's the water fountain for the groipers. And here's the water fountain for everybody else. Peanuts says, so you want it to be like the 50s? Do you want to unite with violent groups? A whale died on a... Oh, God. Disavow. On a side note, want to buy weapons of mass destruction at a discount after the interview? Okay, so he's saying Fed talk. But ironically, this is kind of like a Fed super chat. Bra Moments has just went to France. Nibbas really were in Paris, yeah. Because Nibbas was in Paris, yeah. Cringe and Blue Pills is my lesbian supervisor at UPS keeps attempting to have a locker room talk with me about other women at my work. How would you approach a situation? I would shut it down. Not worth it. Because that's always how it starts, but it always ends with her throwing you under the bus. You know, you get in a fight, something goes wrong, and then they throw you under the bus. This is how you must think. This is how you must think in this day and age is you really can't trust anybody because, you know, with things like this in particular, say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, this gives somebody power over you to throw you under the bus at a moment's notice. You can't really trust anybody. You know, I've got a lot of experience with this where, you know, you just can't really mess around with that stuff. It's just really not worth it. I mean, what do you have to gain from that? I mean, what are you going to be buddy-buddy with some lesbian manager? I mean, even if she was a really great friend or something, is that worth, you know, being wrapped around her little finger? And every time she's, oh, what if I tell corporate? Remember that time? You know, and then your life is over. So I would just say, you know, I'm really uncomfortable. This is unprofessional. She'll get right back in line. Well, once you draw that line, you know, she will shy away. But that's how you got to think, especially, you know, it doesn't help that she's a lesbian because you know how that goes. They get very touchy and then it's game over when they get offended. America First Jew says, Nick, today I set sail for Israel. I'm having a private audience with my handler, Joe the Boomer. I'll be back Friday morning. Is there anything I can grab for you while I'm there? Layla Tov King. Well, thank you for that. Hope you have a lot of fun in Israel. Yeah, just make sure the check comes through from Israel, of course. Jane says, what did Queen Isabel of Spain do before she went up against the Moors and took back Spain from the Muslims and made Spain a global power? I don't know. I don't know. You tell me. I see what you're getting at, maybe. Big Boy says, you don't talk much about China. In Oceania, it's a massive issue. They're the main source of meth, and their government gives low-interest loans for them to buy land and assets here. Chinese MP worked at a spy school teaching English. I don't talk about China because it's not a big deal in America, honestly. You know, and there's been some conspiracy theorizing that because I haven't talked about, like, Hong Kong or something, there was some other theory that means that I must be, like, taking money from China or something like that. I don't talk about China because I don't see this sort of great power politics struggle as the most pressing threat to America. I think almost all of America's gravest threats are domestic and internal. You know, obviously, if we had our stuff straightened out, we could take on China, we could take on Russia easily. But my concern is that America will become a second or a third-rate power and a third-rate country because of what's happening domestically. And in some sense, it has something to do with China, you know, their abuses with trade. And obviously, you've got a lot of Chinese immigrants coming here. But the kind of, like, colonialism that China has happening in Africa, in Australia, in Canada. You know, I talked to that streamer Lolly Sox the other day. He's from Australia, and he was telling me just how bad it is, that Australia is like a colony of China. And of course, we have to be, I mean, if we are going to engage in a foreign policy discussion, then yes, China is without a doubt number one geopolitical threat, and it's concerning. The Belt and Road Initiative, that they're expanding their influence and creating this like totally parallel economic structure where they're reorienting all these trade routes towards China, all these supply chains towards China, you know, through Central Asia, through the Indian Ocean. This is very problematic long-term for America, especially with a lot of the technology stuff. You see it happening in Europe with 5G. You see China's increasingly encroaching even into Europe. So don't get me wrong. That's probably our biggest geopolitical threat, and we should try to turn that back. The only thing is, the reason it's not a huge focus on the show is because I think to make that the central focus to me is just sort of out of touch. It's not really, I don't see that as the biggest priority. Because like I said, if we were set as a country domestically, we could take on China with our hands behind our back. But, you know, our long-term threats are internal, not external. So that's one of my thoughts on that. But I mean, everything you're saying is true. China is just like they are just an outright colonial power in Australia and Canada, in Africa, and that is what they do. They come into China in a lot of cases, or rather, they come into Canada, I've heard about in a lot of cases, and they buy out buildings, and they only rent them to Chinese, right? And they do this a lot in Australia, too. We're doing this in America. They're buying up businesses. They're buying up Hollywood. We know this. They try to buy the Chicago Stock Exchange. So we do have to be very on guard about that. H. Columbia says, have you seen Richard Jewell yet? If not, use this to buy some popcorn, big guy. Well, thanks. This should fund about half of a bag of popcorn these days. But yeah, maybe I'll go see it tonight or something. I heard it was pretty good. Punished Huey says, imagine worshiping females instead of God. Simps are gross. Thank you for going off on them, King. Well, thanks. That's what I'm about, fundamentally. We are about God. We are not about the femoid. No pagan femoid worship here. No simping. I simp for Jesus Christ. I simp for God. That's it. I'm only tamp dancing for the Lord. No e-girl. No femoid. Nothing like that. You know, I'm only concerned when God leaves me on red. But God never leaves me on red. You know, for all those fellas out there that are saying, I got friend zone. You know, she dumped me. She whatever. You know, is never going to dump you. You know, is never going to leave you on red. You know, is never going to yank your chain and F with your head and play games with you. The Lord, Jesus Christ. No meme. No meme. It's true. Something to think about. Billy Mays, all these people. I need a GF. I need a GF. You don't need a GF. Kingdom of God is within. You need God. People think, oh, if I just get, I want to cuddle with a girl. No, bro. You need to go to church. And then you worry about cuddling, all right? Billy Mays says, stellar tie, broski looking kek-ick. Well, thank you. Yeah, glad you like. I like this tie, right? Yeah, my parents, they tried to buy me tie. I hope, you know, every holiday for my birthday, my parents will, like, buy me a necktie. And a lot of times I'm like, you know, I very much like a very conservative style. I like a conservative style, solid colors, stripes, you know, blues and reds, blacks, things like that. You know, and my mom will buy me a tie that's like teal. You know, it's like teal and it has some like goofy pattern on itself. So hopefully they kept that in mind for this Christmas. Just kidding. It's a thought that counts. Let's see. Zach says, when talking about the official number, everyone always forgets the Cookie Monster. Definitely cooked a couple other million types of cookies, which in my opinion makes the math make even more sense. True. It's a very good point. Aaron says, hey, Nick, it's the wife's birthday today. One of her presents is this message. Family and I really enjoy the show. You know what you're doing. Always the right thing. Just keep following your lead. Well, hey, thanks so much. Happy birthday to your wife. Hope it's a good one. Hope you have a great celebration. I imagine it's got to be stressful to have a birthday so close to the holidays. And me, just like, I want to have a birthday during the holidays. And it's like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. And I'm like overwhelmed already, you know, so. But I hope it's a good one. Hope it's a good celebration. Happy birthday. Alternate says, Merry Early Christmas. Wanted to point out that Conservative Inc. is the party of Reagan. Notice how cultural decline in the 60s. Notice how culture declined in the 1960s. We must approach culture and economics differently heading into the future. Yeah, big agree. Damien says, luckily I lost my guns from a boating accident. Yeah, there you go. Americhad says, top two most hated world historical figures. Go. Jesus and Donald Trump. How's that? Yeah, there you go. Nicholas says, are you a whiteboard nationalist? Okay, great. Architect says, hey, Nick, thoughts on cultural appropriation? For example, as a Greek, I am offended and triggered that the Romans took our culture and the Greek gods. Well, yeah, I mean, you would be offended by that because we took everything from the ancient world and we perfected it. The Romans, the Italians took everything that everyone else did and we just simply perfected it. In many cases, we invented things, but often we just took from what other Meds did and we just made it better. I mean, we're all part of the Mediterranean race, which is epic, but, you know, Romans, Italians are just simply, I mean, we are just simply the first among equals. So, oh, no, the Romans took from us. Well, I mean, what did the Greeks really have? I mean, all this, like, gay intellectual stuff. We turned into the biggest empire ever, the biggest, most powerful empire ever. Kristen says, YouTube channel Sleuth of Truth just dropped a pretty great video about Nick, okay? Brendan says, if a certain group keeps lying about, I'm just not going to read that. Shreebar says, real Nickers remember when there was one question, what is this, Mark? Oh, remember when there's one question mark after soon. Oh, yeah. Jacob says, James Alsup's been saying that Tucker Carlson would be the strongest Republican candidate in 2024. What do you think of him as a potential candidate? I am just against this idea. Everybody believes that, like, oh, you're based? You should be president. Somebody's based? They should run for president. Like, this just... This is what got us where we are now, in a certain sense, right? Like, Tucker Carlson's probably better suited doing a show than he is running for office. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know Tucker. If he ran, maybe he'd surprise everybody. Maybe he'd be like Donald Trump and be a great campaigner and so on. But, you know, in my opinion, not everybody should be the president. Not everybody's supposed to be the president. We have to have many different roles. You know, this idea of, oh, I like this guy. That guy should be president. It's like, you know, in some sense, you have to recognize that maybe being the president isn't even all it's cracked up to be in the grand scheme of things. Maybe that's part of it, right? Certainly, Tucker Carlson's probably doing more damage than Donald Trump at this point. In when you look at it from one angle, Jacob says, reading Buchanan's Death of the West, amazing book. Yeah, it's good stuff. Anthony says, if you're against abortion, what would you say to the thousands of East German women who got abortions in 1945 to 1949 after being raped by Soviet invaders? I would say that a human life is a human life. So, you know, people can keep, well, what if this, what if that? I mean, human life. We believe that an abortion is murder, fundamentally. And in a certain capacity, you can understand why somebody getting raped is different than somebody making a bad choice. But if you believe that a fetus, if you believe that a fertilized egg is a human life, I mean, that's what you believe. So, well, what about this? Well, what would you say? Well, I would say these are still human beings. Are you still down with, you know, mass murder? Harold says, 10-hour stream. Hope this is an Israel charity drive. Yeah, all the money will go to Daily Wire. Brendan says, the Pharisees be like, Trump's our best friend. Yeah. Jeremiah has figured out why city boys don't drive lifted trucks. I don't know what that means. St. Michael says, Nick, love the show. Who is your confirmation saint? It was St. George. RX says, advice on how to get over a breakup, King. I don't know why people ask me for relationship advice. I don't know why people persist with relationship advice. I'm really not the person to ask. I really don't have much experience in that area. How to get over a breakup? I don't know, dude. Just like, be a man, get over it. I guess it's hard, but I don't really know. Try to distract yourself. See, me, I'm not trying to be edgy here, but I'm just a very stoic person. If I'm going through something, I'm going through something. You know, if something bad has happened to me, I just let it wash over me. I allow myself to just be, you know, upset for a while. Things don't upset me very easily, but if something tragic happens, if something bad happens, something sours my mood, I have a bad mood. I allow myself to suffer. You know, a certain element of life is recognizing that you're just suffering and you're just sort of making it one day at a time, right? And so I've... You know, me personally, in my experience, when things have happened, it's just sort of like, well, it just sucks. And sometimes you're up all night, and sometimes, you know, it's you have a bad day or whatever. But, I mean, eventually you just get over it. Everybody gets over everything eventually. You just got to stop being a pussy. You're in control of your own emotions, is what I think. Within a certain range, I mean, and it varies in severity, but, I mean, you can have a certain amount of time where you're permitted to be a little bent out of shape about things, but got to move on. Part of being a man is just got to move on, you know? And maybe that's bad advice. I don't know. But at least in my experience, it's not like, oh, well, here's my simple trick to alleviate, to, you know, whatever. It's like, well, you just got to move on. You know, life is about just moving on, just schmoving along. Got to schmoove along. John says, do you think the people of Virginia should Sic Semper Tyrannis disavow FedChat? Inner City Democrats says, that story about every vehicle idling in Afghanistan is still circling in my head. Unreal. The same people pushing for more money to deal with climate change. Exactly right. It's just insane. Some of those documents were just insane about what's happening in Afghanistan. It's, well, what can you even do at this point, right? I mean, it's just so crazy. $1 million per soldier per year for 20 years. Can you believe that? Every single tank, truck, armored vehicle in Afghanistan idling 24/7 for 20 years because they simply just need a way to spend money. It's like unconscionable. And here's the best part is all these free market people are against big government. When the government spends money on welfare, they're taking productive capital out of the economy and giving it to unproductive people, but they're in favor of war. They're in favor of war. Let's see. Laura says, I live in Virginia. My country just became a 2A sanctuary. People are also buying guns en masse. The state's still probably going to go to hell anyway. Pray for us. Yeah, we're praying for Virginia. Hopefully everybody's safe. But yeah, now's the time to get armed. God Emperor says, sanctuary cities for immigrants and sanctuary states for guns. The division is getting worse, and their grabs for power are even more blatant. We got to stay strong and fight for God. Keep groiping. Yeah, yeah, very true, and I will. Temple Drake says, is there any place where we can buy posters of Chris Emerson's illustrations? I love them so much, and we need them all over my walls. I might talk to him about that. Maybe we could set something up on the website. Universum says, Nick, what's the best and the worst Kanye album? Well, in my opinion, the worst is easily Ye. And I love all Kanye's albums. I love all the albums, but I think Ye was probably the most underwhelming of them all. I love them all, but that was probably, I mean, if I had to pick one, it'd be Ye. And the best album would be, to me, it sort of oscillates. It kind of depends. Graduation's probably my all-time favorite. You got Stronger, Flashing Lights. You've got Good Life. You've got Homecoming. You've got Everything I'm Not. You've got, there's just so many bangers in that one. You've got I Wonder. To me, it's like almost all my favorites are on there. I do really love Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy for similar reasons. You've got Runaway. You've got Monster, Power. You've got All of the Lights. And so, and you've got Devil in a New Dress, of course, one of the best. So it's sort of probably between Graduation and Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy for me. I mean, I really like College Dropout too, but yeah, I would say College Dropout's just a little too long. It's like an hour and 10 minutes or something, right? It's like really long. So I would probably be between, I would probably say Graduation only because like some of the songs on Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, like Hell of a Life I don't like, and what's the other one? Blame Game is like, I mean, if it's on in the background, but I'm not going to, like, turn that on and, like, you know, vibe to Blame Game, you know? So I would say for that reason, the only bad song on Graduation is Drunken Hot Girls. So I'm kind of torn. Those would be my two favorites. Jacob says, Jerome Bell is an America First conservative running for Congress in Virginia, too. I got a co-sign from Pete Diabrosca on Twitter, white-pilled because it's my district. Well, very good. It's good to see we have more America Firsters running. I'll have to check them out. Owen Schroyer, let's see, Poopin. This is Owen Schroyer is using Groiper tactics against the Democrats, and of course it's working, vindicating. Yeah, yeah, we're pioneers in a big way. Mike says, Nick, I know you don't watch a lot of anime. I don't watch anime at all. But watch FMA Brotherhood, very based and not weebish. What is that, Full Metal Alchemist? Yeah, I mean, I tried. I tried to watch one of them. I watched NGE, and that was it. And I tried to watch one other. I forget what it was. It was one of the famous ones, but I watched like half of an episode. I'm like, I can't watch a cartoon like some jab. I just can't really get into it. I don't have that patience anymore. Birch says, Nick, can you wish me luck on my calc final? Yeah, good luck. Rock himself says, can Yugoslavians claim med work ethic? No, Yugoslavians are Alpinids. They can claim Alpinid work ethic. Benjamin says, long-time watcher, first-time super chatter, thank you, handsome, funny genius, for all you do in turning me to Catholicism, a debt I could never repay. Excuse me. Time machine stream sounds cozy. Merry Christmas. Well, hey, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, you're right. Well, I'm glad you became Catholic. That's great to hear. I love to hear that from people. It is very fulfilling. You know, even at the end of the day, if it's like people are mad at me or it's like I don't, you know, whatever, to me, it's always fulfilling that it's bringing people to God because that's what matters. So thanks for that. And yeah, Merry Christmas to you too. Tybor says, some MTV staffers furiously taking screen caps of the chat right now. LOL. Yeah, I'm sure. Mike says, Ross. Ross Finkter. Is that phonetic for something? I don't even know. Or is that, what is, I don't even know what that is. Howie says, hi, Nick. I can't hear. If that's some phonetic joke, I can't hear it. Howie says, hi, Nick, first time super chatter. Just want to say thanks for checking out my merch pick on Twitter. Stay Optical King. You're welcome. Glad you bought the merch. Glad you're enjoying it. You look good. Calevra says, everyone should buy and train with an AR-15, but don't be a spurg about it. Spend money on ammo, on preparing. Don't try to LARP. Yeah, I mean, look, people should just have weapons to protect themselves. People should have weapons just in case. You know, you never know. And we all know that a firearm is the ultimate equalizer. So I don't think it hurts to have it. Yeah, I think people should. And if you want to defend yourself against a variety of threats, you know, that's a good idea. Yeet says, if you ever plan on suing MTV, you should have me negotiate on your behalf. I'm so good at negotiating, they call me the N-word at work. Okay, I'll take you up on that. That guy says, Jewish Attorney General Josh Shapiro just made 80% AR-15 lower receivers illegal in Pennsylvania. It's almost as if Jewish people are overrepresented in gun control. Ah, yeah, really makes you think. Wow, really fresh content with that. Hot Soup says, I'm a 30-year-old father of three boys, despite the fun and memes. Your exceptional content and following is a huge white pill for me with regard to future generations. Your impact is larger than you may know. Well, hey, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. It always makes me feel good when it's like family people, because everybody tries to gaslight the world about who we are. They're like, oh, the America First is incels. And it's like, no, America First is, it's extremely, if it is young people, they're extremely solid and intelligent and clever. And it's a lot of people that are young fathers or young mothers, you know, family people. And there are some boomers, and they're great too. So it's great to hear from you. Maxie says, Nick, you've read all of these anti-Israel super chats, so why don't you read all of the regular chats that are pro-Israel? I don't know what that means. Killover says, Zionists unintentionally waking normies up. Yeah. MF says, thanks for red-pilling me on the dinosaur question. Yeah, you got it, bro. And never too late to get woke on the behemoth question, the sauropod question. Justin says, I'm surprised the owner of America First hasn't fired you yet. He must be pretty based. Yeah, he's a pretty base guy. He's really handsome, and he's a genius. Man, I got to tell you, signing up to work for America First, best idea ever. My boss is the best. My boss is amazing. He's the most impressive person I've ever met. Handsome, tall, funny, charismatic. He's charming. He's a genius, did I mention? So really got nothing negative to say about him. And yeah, and he's totally based in red-pilled. I can basically say whatever I want on this show, and he's fine with it. So you love that. I've not gotten fired since. So, you know, hope we don't get fired. Zach says, anti-BDS laws, that's how the cookie crumbles. Of course, I'm talking about Beardson, my boss from China. Zach Funk says, anti-BDS laws, that's how the cookie crumbles. Yeah, funny. I love funny time, funny jokes. Bobby says, so we got Zion Don, keep Israel great 2020, no wall, meh on deportations. Why even bother voting for Trump in 2020? How many times do I have to say this? It is a binary choice. It is a binary choice. You either vote for Democrats and they further our dispossession at a rapid pace, or you vote for Republican. Or even if the dispossession is being facilitated, it's at a much smaller scale. Like, that's why. Why even bother? Because it's a binary choice. I do not understand that these outcomes affect us and they matter. Even if it's in small ways, the outcomes affect us and you have two choices. Why even bother? Yeah, I don't like what he did. Okay, well, you know, that's the way it has to be. Ellie says, got my brother to quit working at PragerU. Well, good. Kalevra says, me before Nick. I'm a genius. Me after. I'm a retard. Yeah, I tend to have that effect. Groiper PSU says, Boris sits down in a dark room and gets shown pictures of his children at school. So, Mr. Johnson, where are you moving your embassy to? Yeah, right. Mara Chad says, all these boomer conservatives astound me. They'd be like, I don't want to use the power of the state against our enemies because then it could be used against me. Reality check, morons. It already is. I know. They're like, these Zoomers are no better than the left. They just want to use the government for their own interest. It's like, yeah, you know, yeah. The Zoomers are just like the left. They want to use the government to create their world. Their world is just different. Yeah, and you just want to sit passively while the left rapes you at the government. Like, that's what you want. You, whether or not you use the state for your own interest, our enemies are using it against us. So you can either have it used against you and just say, no, nobody should use it. Or you can play ball, you know? It's sort of like a team sport, you know? And the other side is scoring goals on you, and you're like, nobody should be playing this game. Stop. Please stop playing this game. And they're just like kicking the ball between your legs. They're just making fun of you. They're tripping you, kicking your shins, kicking the ball in the net. And you're just like, you know, on the ground holding your shin. This is not appropriate. This game, this is a wrong game to play. you should be a referee. And the referee's just beating the shit out of you. Referee has a gun. It's just shooting people on your team, just killing them. Hey, that's not fair. The referee should be impartial. The referee's just killing people. The referee's just picking up the soccer ball and throwing it in the net. I mean, like, that's what's happening. And it's like, okay, well, we can either, like, participate or, you know, like, it's you just there's no way we're going to win. Jesse Williams says, hey, big guy, shout out my grandma, Sadie. Sadie, her name is Sadie, and her last name is N-word. Sadie N-word. Okay, well, yeah. Shout out to your grandma, Sadie N-word. That's very great. That one did give me a lag. That one was pretty good, I'll say. Let's see. Panda says 1776 will commence again. Yeah, it's possible. Florencio says maybe Boris and Donald think they're enacting anti-BDSM laws. Donald was mad confused when Martin Levin called him a Jew. Yeah, I doubt that, but it's funny to think that. Tristissimus says several times in Japan's history, the new ruler sought to ensure his position by calling a sword hunt. The new ruler sought to ensure that no one could take the country by force that he had just done. It's exactly it. It's exactly it. Big Iron says it's pronounced Loudon Country. Okay, well, I'm not from there. I don't know. I have family there where I go visit. If we leave the white neighborhood, it's all Indians, Muslims, and Hispanics. Yeah, welcome to America. Archive, or what is this? Archville says, have an early Christmas present on me, Chief. Well, thanks. Polish American says, why do Hindus... Okay, can't read that. Community guidelines. Sheriff Bill says, if you look at the 90s, you see stuff like Waco and OKC happening after Ruby Ridge and the assault weapons ban. That was during a time of relative peace. That's a good observation. Yeah, things are tense, right? It's getting tense. Is it just me? Or are things getting crazier out there? It is tense. Harold says, in 2040, Nick J. Fuentes' show is the most technical program on TV. Later at home, Nick clutching his whiteboard and extendable finger pointer. Yeah. Groiper says, that was for Jesus. Okay. Will Saul says, hey, Nick, new fan via the Groiper Wars. What do you think about genetic testing services like 23andMe? Bogus lab coat trivia or something darker? I think it's, you know, look, there's a healthy line between, like, skepticism and conspiracies and all that. And, like, people being retarded and, like, being hyper-paranoid. People are like, the government is taking your saliva and they're going to implant it at crime scenes and it's all made up anyway. It's like I kind of get where you're coming from, but it's like, if they were going to go to the trouble to frame you for crimes, they wouldn't have to do this elaborate, we'll get them to put their spit in a vial and test their DNA and send them this big report. And then we'll have their spit and then we'll take the spit. And because that's the argument. It's like, oh, 23andMe is like abusing your genetic material. It's like, why jump through all those hoops when they could just kill somebody and cover it up? Like, you know, why jump through all those hoops when they have your metadata? They like know everything about you. They know more about you than you know about you. They've got Google self-driving trucks taking pictures of everything at all times, surveillance. They can hear every phone call. They can see everything with satellite imagery. And you're like, well, if I give my spit, like, that's the last straw. If I don't use DuckDuckGo, well, then they're going to come after me. It's like, dude, like, you have to recognize, like, what can be done and what cannot be done. Like, Peter Brimelow keeps busting my balls about Gmail every time I talk to Peter Brimelow. And I love Peter Brimelow, but he always busts my balls. He's like, you have to get off Gmail. Gmail's going to start, like, any. I mean, he's in some sense, he's right, you know, in a certain capacity. But it's also like, you know, we have to use Google Docs. Like, we have to use Gmail. It's just like, you know, you have to balance, like, practicality with, like, the risk. And so with 23andMe, I think it's generally accurate. You know, with my DNA, like, I know that I am half Italian because my mom's 100% Italian. Both of her parents are 100% Italian. All of her grandparents came from Italy. Or, yeah, all of my mother's, I think, grandparents or great-grandparents came from Italy. So I know she's all Italian, and I know that her ancestors came from Calabria, Naples, and Bari in Italy. And that's what my 23andMe report said. It said Calabria, Apulia, and Naples. So, I mean, to me, that's, like, basically accurate. And, you know, it got the rest of my DNA basically accurate. And do they fudge the numbers? Is it 100% precise? Probably they fudge it a little bit. Probably the numbers are imprecise. But, I mean, generally speaking, it was kind of accurate. And anyway, look, it's just like fun. It's not like the end all be all. It's just like a fun thing. Kind of gives you an idea. Alcibiades says, I hear what you're saying, Nick, but Best Buy is having a great Christmas sale. Yeah, there you go. Dead Man Walking says, any suggestion on how to break the cycle? Well, just bringing awareness to it, honestly. That's step number one. Big Mike, a lot of it's very contingent. I'll just say that. People say, you don't have a plan. It's like, no, but I mean, everything's very contingent. I'll just say that. Big Mike says, it's happening in Michigan, too. My hometown has remained white, but you go 10 miles south, and it's like another country, passing by Chinese and Chaldean churches along the way. I don't know how that's pronounced. I think that's how it's pronounced. But anyway, I'm the same way in Chicago. In my suburb, it's white, but you drive east, and it's Mexico. You drive south, and it's a lot of Asians, and west, too, I guess. And so it's just like, it's so many changes. You know, the neighborhoods where my parents grew up are just fundamentally transformed. My mom grew up in like Little Italy. Her parents lived on, or her family lived on Taylor Street. Now it's all Mexican, you know? And there's something sad about that. Something to be said. You don't have to hate anybody to say that that's sad. That is not a good thing. Epic Rants says the Spaniards kicked out the Moors for Reconquista. Yeah. Cosmic Craft with a big super chat. Thanks so much. Rarest Meerkats is Nick at the McDonald's I work at. Whenever we are slow, we turn on the stream. We are all epic based in Red Pill now. That is the most epic thing I've heard all night. Well, if you see me ever pull through, I hope you'll cop me a free Big Mac. I hope you'll give it to me comped. That's what I expect. That's pretty based. Waging it. Wayne Thomas says, Jays, boycott us. Okay, so this guy's just like a total wignat. Let's see. Wim says, my four-year-old nephew is a minority in his age group. It is terrifying. I used to be hopeful for him, but he's going to face something bad in his lifetime. He's going to face a hard time in his lifetime. Yeah, I agree. Some of this stuff, it's like, can we moderate the language a little bit in light of the new community guidelines? But yeah, it is it's spooky. DB Cooper says, best stream ever. Thanks. Big Iron says, even down where I live outside of Nova, I see women in burqas when I go to the store. I hear stories about the Afghan gangs in the elementary schools. This is our future as of right now. Yep, every bit of it. Juggs says, good show, Nick. Nice haircut. Live, laugh, love. Well, thanks, but I didn't get a haircut. But I'm glad you think that. Harris Walker says, shout out to my Rhodesian homies, RIP. Foy says, you eat your Portillo's hot dogs without any toppings. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I go to different hot dog places and I'll get the full, you know, I'll get the works. I'll get the onions and the mustard and the relish and, you know, the celery salt and everything. But honestly, I just like the plain hot dogs from Portillo's. Portillo's makes such a good hot dog. It's like the dog itself has such a nice snap. You know, the casing has such a nice snap. The bun is very good. The poppy seed bun. It's just perfect. Why? You don't really need any. You don't really need any toppings, in my opinion. I'm very much against toppings. Like, Portillo's, I get the plain beef. I haven't gotten a burger there in forever, but I would do without all the condiments. I'm a very simple guy. Very simple guy. Tristissimus says, the Knights Templar did nothing wrong. One true apostolic Catholic Church of Christ. New crusade now. Reject the lies. Okay, LARPer. New crusade now. New crusade now. Okay, buddy. I just can't handle LARPing. Stevie O says, King Nicker, thoughts on the Greek Orthodox Church and Presbyterians. Are they as based as Catholics? Hail Christ. No. Nobody, the Catholics are the most based, so nobody's as based. Certainly not Presbyterians. Matthews is dropping a noblesse oblige while riffing. Very high level. It's a very high level term. No, it's just really not. Russell says, we're tired of the takeover. We've had enough. I certainly have. Yeet says, who wants to have an America First meetup where we go to the New York penthouse during a live stream and take a dump on the floor and eat all his food? Yeah, that's what's happening to our country. Cheesehead says, did you hear how copper wire was discovered? Apparently, two Bens found the same penny. Okay, thanks. Warrior Mario says, have you thought of doing a meetup in New York? Also, I agree with you on the immigration mess. Hashtag no e-girls. No, I would never do a meetup in New York. That would be a disaster. Intercity Democrats says, this episode is off the charts good. Maybe your best. Well, thanks a lot. I'm glad you like it. D.B. Cooper says, watching for 3+ years, best show ever. Wow, so pretty common sentiment. Thanks a lot. Gets a good feeling. As I felt like I was losing my touch a little bit the past couple of weeks, so I'm glad. Let's see, where were we? I scrolled down too far. Gringo says, epic show, Nick, unblock me. No, but thanks. Stephanie says, what do you think about propertarianism as described by John Mark and Doolittle, winning system? I don't know what that is. So, Benjamin Keyes says, thank you for boomer splaining in this show and keeping it polite and friendly. I can send this to my fam. I'm glad. Dimitri says, fuck John Mark. Sorry for the language. Like I said, I just don't watch a lot of content. I got to be honest with you. You know, people been pestering me about this forever. I'm just not really interested. Bruno says, first super chat, thanks for actually understanding politics and optics, big guy. Unlike some of these wig gnats, most of them are too ugly to go outside anyway. Yeah, well, I mean, to me, optics is just about not letting your presentation and rhetoric get in the way of your message. That's all it's about. It's that simple. You know, people say, oh, well, Nick, is this good optics? Is this? It's like, all optics means, it has never meant anything more than do not let your presentation and your rhetoric get in the way of your message. That's all that means. It doesn't mean it has to be a specific thing. It doesn't even have to mean. Some people think optics means it has to be very sterilized and very corporate and very, you know, clean cut and, you know, it has to be a very inoffensive presentation. No. No. Now, in a big way, we had to clean up a lot of the images. We had to clean up a lot of what was going on in our specific case. But all optics means, all it has ever meant, is making the presentation and the rhetoric enhance rather than obstruct the message. In other words, we're pushing a message which is challenging to people. And so we need to be the best looking. We need to be the, you know, we have to have the best strategy, the best persuasion, and not even the best looking, just insofar as we need to really think through how we're presenting our ideas, what we look like, what we sound like, the arguments we use, because we've already got so much against us in the way of media, you know, conditioning and propaganda and disavowals and all this, that people need to land on our content and say, you know what, this guy is like imminently normal and likable, and the branding is enhancing the message. That's how we need to think, and that's all it ever meant. John says, Army of Nova, because what we're saying is not radical. It really isn't. John says, Army of Nova flag is the cross of St. Andrew. Okay, John Smith says, what do gays call diarrhea? Okay, that's just gross. I'm not reading that. That's disgusting. It's a very funny joke, but that's gross. I'm not going to read that lewd super chat on the stream. It is very funny. Chris Jones says, Nick, I really disagreed with you on the idea that mass immigration, specifically Catholics from Central America, was a bad thing until this stream. You're putting this all together about Virginia has changed my mind. Thanks, and I'm sorry. Well, thanks for the big super chat. Don't apologize. It's okay. I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad that you have an open mind. It took me a long time to come around to this, too. We have to be patient with people. Because, you know, people are conditioned their whole life in ways they don't even understand or are not even consciously aware of to be inoculated against this kind of messaging. So I don't blame you. We all had to get red-pilled at some point. So I'm just glad that you finally saw the light. And thanks for the kind words. Barron says, if I haven't gotten an email about the Groiper Summit, does that mean I'm not invited? Yeah, probably. Justin says, don't let America become Canada. Well, don't let it become Brazil, right? Lituan says, you say you're not a white nationalist, but then say America should be majority white. Makes no sense to me. Do you know what a white nationalist is? Part of why I've never even given any credibility to this word is because nobody actually knows what it means. You know, what does a white nationalist mean to you if those two things are a contradiction? Do you think that everybody that's against mass immigration is a white nationalist? There are Democrats that are against mass immigration, or there were for a long time. Samuel Huntington, famously, is a liberal, and he was against mass immigration. What's been going on is through radical demographic change, radical displacement of the native population in 60 years. That's not a dog whistle. That's a fact. That's math. And because you're against radical change in a short period of time, or even radical change at all, that makes you a white nationalist. What does that even mean? White nationalist is a ridiculous, made-up word that is meant to just disavow people that are against mass immigration. It means nothing. You know, people can, you know, and there are people that say, well, we've got this going on, so that means we need to, well, I don't even know if anybody says this, but what the media says a white nationalist believes is that you think that America should be an all-white nation and we should be sending people home. That is not what we believe. That is not what we're advocating for on the show. Some stupid idiot in that MTV thing says, these people believe, what does she say, that all races have to be exterminated except for white people. Like, that's what they say white nationalists believe. Nobody watching this show, and myself included, believes anything close to that, you know? But these are scare words thrown around to say, not credible, don't listen to him, he's a hater. It's like the new racist, so. So it's a very stupid question, and you're dumb for asking it. Yeet says, excellent show tonight, brother. This will be the defining issue of our time. I'm so glad we have you as the spearhead of the movement. May God bless you. We have your back, and trust the plan. Well, hey, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate that. Kevin says, job automation makes immigrants obsolete. Yeah, and then... And then think about the real problem on our hands when all these immigrants we brought over to fill jobs are now out of a job. You thought mass immigration was bad when they were filling jobs and taking jobs away? Now imagine all those immigrants, but they're idle. But they're idle and they have nothing to do. That's a recipe for a good time, right? That's a great point. Dan D says, I never hear people discuss Puerto Rico. Many places in the Northeast are being overrun, but it's a territory. You need to sell that heap. Great show tonight, thanks. Yeah, definitely need to get rid of, definitely need to offload Puerto Rico. We've got no use for it. Dinel says, why do you find it hard to believe that dinosaurs, facts. I like he has facts in parentheses. Why do you find it so hard to believe that dinosaurs, facts, existed? Just in case anybody was even doubting it remotely. Just got to clarify that. Doesn't all of our research make it easy to understand that dinosaurs did exist? These people are so pathetic. It's like, understand, I didn't say, I'm not trying to like, you know, corn cob here. But what I said is not, dinosaurs are not real. I said, maybe they are real, maybe they're not. I'm not an expert. I said, but I just find it hard to believe. I said, giant monsters? Doesn't that seem outrageous? Can't you say that you find some things to be outrageous? Some things just don't seem right, even if, you know, all the research, all the evidence, you know, allegedly. Can't you say that something is just like, it just seems wild, don't you? Don't you understand that things that are even real that we use every day, like, you know, I think a lot of things are a miracle. Combustion, electricity, you know, there's a lot of things that are miraculous on the human brain. I find it hard to believe that the brain, okay, that's what all I meant was to say, like, really, giant lizards? That's so crazy. And all I meant to do there was to trigger people like you that, he's crushing dinosaurs, that's facts, dinosaurs are real, you know, it's so sad and pathetic, really? Dude, chill out, they're just lizards, all right? They're just giant monsters, chill. And they're dragons anyway, okay? They're dragons, they live with people, all right, dinosaurs are real, sheesh, okay? All right, fine, dinosaurs are real, but they walked with people, and God created them, and they died in Noah's Ark's flood. And I'm not a dinosaur-like denier. I'm just disputing some of the details there. Trey Barr says, hey, Nick, I never said I don't believe in dinosaurs. I just said I find it hard to believe. Trey Barr says, hey, Nick, have you ever seen the clown that hides from gay people? No. I don't know what that means. Paul Smirks is knocking him out of the park tonight. Very poignant. Well, thank you. Doc Watson says, whites should pick areas where whites have the highest majorities and flood those areas to set up territories where whites have super majorities. Imagine 90%+ majority, white counties in various states. I don't know if that is a workable solution, honestly. JB says, college-educated whites are the most brainwashed people on planet Earth. Conservatives need to take back academia from these leftist indoctrinators. See, like these grand projects, I just don't like see them happening anytime soon. You know, mass movements of people, taking back academia. We have to resign ourselves to the cards that we have been dealt. Mike says, 6ix9ine out from prison soon. Thoughts? Trey Way. I don't really know much about 6ix9ine, honestly. If he gets out, it's because he snitched, obviously, and that's, you know, snitching is not cool. A good friend says, okay, yeah, not going to read that. Ben says, be me, be Soviet construction worker in 1947. build faux bakeries, smokestack behind air raid shelter. Okay, I see where this is going. Thanks a lot for that. Phillips says, Nick, spot on. If you're white male in core America, how do you talk about this? The corporate world is very hostile and indoctrinated with D&I. What is D&I? Career and life destroyed if you disagree. Yep. Connor says, don't read my name. Hello, docs department. Okay. John says, why so many Irish in this movement? Keep it up, King. Really makes you think, doesn't it? Patrick Casey, Irish. Nick Fuentes, quarter Irish. Really makes you think, doesn't it? Polish American says, you can trust me, Nick. I'm not a Fed. Promise. Yeah, I'm sure. Polish American says, how to be mean to women. I feel I need to get meaner. No, look, I mean, just don't be like absurdly simping and overly nice. Just be a man. Just be a man. It's that simple. Just don't take any shit, right? That's what women do. They do shit tests and they want to see how far they can push you. If you're just like a firm, assertive man, you know, that's all there is to it. Honestly, it's not like you have to be like, hey, you're ugly. Like, that's not cool. Well, I mean, it's kind of funny, but if it's like your wife, it's not cool to say like, you're ugly, I hate you, you know, not cool to go Spencer mode on her. But, you know, I think of people that are like, I just love you so much. Hey, you see these like screenshots on Twitter. Have you ever seen this where people post screenshots from texts and they're like, oh, I sent my boyfriend my nudes. And the text messages from the boyfriend are like, babe, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm literally crying right now. Oh, you're the most beautiful girl ever. Babe, I'm so lucky to have you. It's like a block text of just like faggoty simping. Disavow. Didn't mean that in a pejorative way. Blah, blah, blah. Community guidelines, but you know what I'm talking about. It's sort of like frilly, just sort of weak mentality when it comes to that. I'm just saying don't do that. But it is kind of funny. You know, what's really funny is to go to women and say, you know, if women are like getting ready to go out, to say, oh, you're wearing that? That's brutal. That to me is the funniest one. There's a great TikTok going around where a guy was going up to different girls and filming them and saying, are you going to keep your hair like that? And they were all like, why would you say that? What's wrong with you? And then my personal favorite, handed down through the generations, through family, is, oh, you're going to wear that? Oh, so that's what you're going to wear? Oh, well, why? What's wrong with it? No, nothing. It's fine. No, that's me. Now, that's funny. Anybody can outright just be like, you know, autistic about it. Don't be a spurg about it. It's even more pathetic when people are like obsessively spurging about it. Just gotta be a king. Just gotta throw a little neg out every once in a while. Just generally not be phased. Just not simp. It's sort of hard to articulate that mentality. It's a very subtle thing. Abel says, everyone watch the Wally George show. Don't know what that is. Anonymous Tipper says, Murdoch admitted in their AMA that you're based. Okay, great. Wayne Thomas says, the Talmud is hate speech. Okay, hello, 2015 department. Damien says, Nick, how do you deal with retarded NPCs who cannot handle different viewpoints and think nightly shows are funny and intellectual? I just don't talk to them. I just don't really engage with them. John Mann says, your fembot advice equals based. You should be a pickup lad. No, I'm not like a pickup artist. I don't believe in picking up. I don't believe in casual encounters and things like that and tricks. I just think you should be a man. It's not a pickup artist thing. It's just, look, just grow a pair. Be a man. I don't have this bag of tricks that I'm like, oh, I'm going to try this on a woman. I'm strategizing, practicing. Just be a man. You know, be confident, be assertive. Don't take shit from women. And it's that simple. It's not, and the end game is not like picking up women. It's just like, hopefully you find a wife that, you know, you can be compatible with and raise a family with. Scorch says, excellent show tonight, Nick. Definitely the most important one so far. Everyone wants to jump to the solutions rather than focus on raising awareness and consciousness about these issues, which is what we have to do first. And that's exactly right. That's exactly my thought process. Raul Gondo says, I don't want to be a bar of soap. Yeah. Catholic Patriots says, cuddling with a girl makes you sleepier, less alert. Yeah, true. Also, it's gay. Carlos says, I'm with you and I trust the plan, but I'm mulatto and I'm marrying a mestiza. Is there a place for me in the movement? Of course. Of course. We are against mass immigration. As long as you're on board with, you know, what we're saying, that's fine. But we're just not pandering. We're just not pandering and compromising the message to bring in, you know, other demographics. If you know, of course, if non-whites, non-Christians want to come in and they see what we're saying and they understand the message and they want to push it, then insofar as they're going to be spreading our message and advocating for it, that's great. But we're not going to conform and try to be more welcoming to people that, you know, don't share our views, because we have to be firm. But yeah, Billy May says, Romans saw Greeks having sex and realized they could have it with women. Yeah, I've heard this joke before. Ellie says, what's your opinion on Josh Hawley? He's okay for now, but I don't know if he's what people think he is. Groiper says, Jesus was Italian. Yes, and so is God. Wyatt says, bro, I just came to a shocking revelation. Jews have the Shabbat on Saturday. Saturday means Saturn's day. Saturn, oh, he's connecting the dots here. It's all just a coincidence. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you, big guy. Couldn't tell you. That's interesting. Do you know where the word cabal comes from? I don't know. You should Google it. Brent says, you're a fan of Buchanan's Death of the West. Thoughts on Spengler's Decline of the West? I think it's a great book. It's definitely like something you got to read if you're in these circles. It's a very challenging read, but I think some of the insights in there, the sort of worldview, it's critical to understand, I think. I will say, though, it's not, you know, this is why I'm against book lists. A lot of these books are just inaccessible to most people. You know, Evola, Spengler, you know, a lot of these kinds of books in particular are, these are not like a read, this is not a beach read where you, you know, pick up a book at the airport, read it on the plane. These are like, this is intense. You know, so Spengler, even I struggled a little bit with Spengler because, you know, it's a long book and he talks a lot about, well, number one, it's translated from German. So you've got a lot of like compound words that don't translate perfectly. And you've also got, because his task was to create a whole new study of civilizations, like a self-contained study of civilizations, like history or other disciplines, contained in that is studies of everything else. So, I mean, there are considerable portions of the book that talk about mathematics on a very technical level, or art, or architecture, or, I mean, it's not on a super technical level, but on a level that is, like, maybe you could say intermediate. And so, especially with the art portion I struggled with. I don't know anything about Rembrandt and all these like Faustian artists and things like that. You know, he talks a lot about music. He talks a lot about Mozart and they talked about flying buttresses and cathedrals and architecture. And I feel like if you don't have that background, you're not going to get as much out of it. So I would do your homework on that one. That's not a beginner's one, but it's definitely a good book. He's definitely right. I mean, you read a lot. I was citing it the other day. Most of what he said there is basically true about the cyclical nature of civilizations, that we're basically in the autumn of our civilization and what that's going to entail in the future, the new Caesarism approaching. So I thought he was basically spot on. American Gripo says, aren't conservative anxious libertarians? Yeah, I mean, more or less. Colton says, Nick, president at 35, what about Civil War? I'm probably not going to be president based on some of the things I've said. And Civil War, I don't think is really coming anytime soon. But you never know. Pild Groiper says, Nick, I need relationship advice. What shade of black should I turn my Twitter avi when the e-girl I am talking to stops DMing me? That's a good one. Maybe night. What are the different shades of black? Midnight. coal. I don't know. What are the different shades of black? It's a tough call. But you're definitely gonna wanna be sad posting very performatively for a few weeks. Just everybody gets the point. MA says, screw Alston, watch One Punch Man. Okay. Sarah says, Nick, you won't believe this. This guy killed 16 Czechoslovakians. He was an interior decorator. Very funny Sopranos quote, yeah. Mothbutts says, is that 2010 rewind stream still on the table? Yeah, dude. It's happening next Saturday, 28th. Nuke Telly says, hey, Nick, here's €2. Please be my relationship guru. Yeah, for sure, dude. Elijah says, 16 Czechoslovakians. He was an interior decorator. Really makes you think. Yeah. Xylan says, pee-pee-poo-poo. Polish American says, sorry, King, don't want to get you banned. Yeah, we can be a little thoughtful. Lil Jesus says, listen to Skeleton Keys by Lil Jesus. Yeah, I don't know if I can promote that. I'm sorry. I mean, look, we had our conversation, but I watched the video. Yeah, it's pushing it a little bit. Videos Inc. says the goods of the 2010s was undone by the end of it. What was good about the 2010s? Except for the meme war, I guess. Pild Groiper says, R.I.P. Lil Jesus. I can't believe he died from AIDS he got from you know what. Yeah. Let's see. Sarah says, that's what this is, you know. Satanic black magic. Sick stuff. Effing queers. Okay, can we relax, please? Can we please relax? We're trying to be community guidelines friendly. Heavy Wash says, poopy rapey. Okay, thank you. Says engineer here, Zoomers, listen, make it inconvenient for Intel operatives. Gmail is easy to hack. Proton Mail is much harder. Skype is easy. DuckDuckGo hard. Google is an email away. Proton in Switzerland. Okay, yeah, we get it. Solas Greer says, playing games, any chance you'd play starblast.io? I don't know what that is. Pild Groiper says, Nick says he's from Chicago. He can't pronounce Lou Malnati's right, LMAO. Everyone make fun of him. Dude, what are you talking about? Seal Club says, writing a book when? If Charlie Kirk and Glenn Beck. That just cuts off there. I don't know. I'll probably write one next year, maybe. I don't know. I got to figure out what to say. Re Gmail, hacking Skype is literally clicking a button on the desktop of FBI computers. Same with Gmail. Forward your email to Proton. Yeah, I knew this was going to open up this can of worms. Yeah, okay. John Mann says, if one more dummy J Mark posts FML, Keith Woods better. I don't know who any of these people are. Yeet says, Zoomer here, get bent, engineers. I've had the same Gmail since middle school. I'm not changing. Shit. Yeah, facts. Ahalia says, been watching America First for over a year now. Tonight was top three for sure. Well, thanks. Liam says, I'm an OG fan. Your plan of Zoomers eventually accumulating wealth is coming true. I finally have money to pay back my knicker reparations. Have a Merry Christmas, King. Well, thanks a lot for the big super chat. Yes, of course, that is my long-term gamble. Hopefully the super chats, the Generation Z super chatters, when they go out into the world and they make their money, they will pay it forward. They'll pay it back to the godfather of Generation Z. It's like that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles meme. I'm Master Splinter. You are all the little turtles. And then when you grow up and I'm, you know, the huddled sort of old man, I'm banned off of everything, then you will take care of me. That is how I see it. Alcibiades says, where is your desk's Christmas tree? I haven't had time to put one up. Dylan says, dinotards are the easiest religion to troll. It's so funny, and it's so stupid. They're like, this guy doesn't believe in dinosaurs. It's like, who cares? Like, that's a big own. I saw a bunch of people like, oh, Nick doesn't believe in dinosaurs. What about it, bitch? Yeah, giant monsters? I find it hard to believe. What about it? They're like, oh, you believe in God? You believe in silly magic? Oh, and what do you believe in? Giant monsters and, like, carbon atoms and all this retarded bullshit? Yeah, they're very easy to troll. Knight of Mirrors says, did you see the Sad World iDubbbz crossover? Samhide style changed the game. No, I didn't see that, but I have to check that out. I've been saying it. Samhide is, and I don't, look, I'm, you know, very sparing when it comes to compliments, but Samhide, I mean, Generation Z humor is virtually, it's Samhide humor. Dissident right, whatever. I mean, think of just the influence over the style. Almost, and this is the red pill. It's like, it's really like the NRX pill about the dissident right. Almost every influencer on the right wing follows Samhide and has been watching his stuff religiously for years. You know, what does that tell you? So, I mean, almost everybody has a little shade of that in them. And that's how you influence. Because he never got to that mainstream level. I mean, he got kicked off Adult Swim, right? But by influencing the influencers, he is sort of like this shadowy godfather of a style which is becoming very popular and changing the world in a lot of ways. Bra Moments is, okay, I'm just not going to read that. T-Rex says, love all you do for us. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Let's see. Steve says, just got my flight to the West Palm Beach for the Groiper Leadership Summit. Any tips on how to maximize my experience? Let's just say as little as possible about it, okay, for OPSEC reasons. Eric Clapton says, Nick, Infiniti QX80 car review when? I don't know, dude. Bigfoot says, I would be Catholic if Francis didn't kiss the feet. Okay, well, good luck going to hell. You know, you're going to be in hell. But the Pope did something I didn't like. Oh, guess you were wrong. Logan says, I'd be Catholic if I like Pope, duh. Yeah, exactly. It's just such a stupid mentality. Wyatt says, look up Kabbalah. Bro, WTF, mind blown. Kabbalah? What's that? I think I'll Google Kabbalah later. Salk says, what were your thoughts on Young Pope? I have never seen it. Have you checked out what they're doing with the new season? Thoughts? I'm a Catholic millennial, spelled M-E-L-E-N-I-A-L. Oh, great. I've been watching you since the Groyper Wars. Very interesting. Oh, well, thanks. No, I don't watch that show. Let's see. Second account says, these sly Saturn red pills. You may have me going down a rabbit hole. I don't know what you're talking about. Down a rabbit hole. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Let's see. Our last super chat says, let me see if I could find it. The last one always gets cut off. It says, the Trayvon hoax on Vimeo, new documentary, very good. I'll have to check that out. Okay, well, that's our last super chat. Jeez, I don't know what's with all the Fed posts today. Holy cow. Hello, Fed Department. Remember, this show disavows violence. We're not extreme. We love everyone. We are just America First campus conservatives. Because, sheesh, everyone's trying to get me banned. Really makes you think what's going on with that. But that's going to do it for us on the show tonight. Remember, we still could be facing extinction on YouTube. You never know when we could get banned. It could happen tomorrow. Knock on wood. Let's pray. Hope it doesn't happen tomorrow, but could happen now. Could happen later. If you want to follow me in the event that I get banned, you got to sign up for the email list. That's the only way you can follow me for the most part. So go to NicholasJFuentes.com. Type in your email address. If the window doesn't pop right away, you can go to the top left corner of the webpage and type it in there. But be sure to get on that, because otherwise I won't have any way to get in touch with people. Also follow my Telegram, t.me/NickJFuentes1. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to our super chatters. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you. And I will see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.